Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, to the War Room. We have an absolutely gigantic show for you today. We'll be joined by Ben Bankus in the next hour. Very funny comedian. We'll be talking about all sorts of not funny things, but we'll do our best. We'll do our best to squeeze the humor out of just relentless horror, because that's a lot of what's on offer today. I regret to inform you, it's no different than any other day. We got a lot to talk about, including Hillary Clinton testifying and then not testifying for Jeffrey Epstein, and a lot of videos, including one that broke an hour ago that we got to spend some time on, because Kristi Noem just like very casually is referencing just insane treason going on in the DHS. I'm blown away by a video I'll show you in the next segment. But let's begin today, as we do every day, with our Daily Dispatch. All right, here it is, folks, your Daily Dispatch for Thursday, the 26th of February, 2026. World Economic Forum chief resigns over Epstein ties. Jorge Brindi, the chief executive and president of the World Economic Forum, said on Thursday that he would resign after an independent investigation by the group into his ties to the convicted sex offender Jeffrey Epstein. Okay, I was a little confused. I keep seeing headlines about this guy resigning, and it's like, is he ever going to resign? I feel like I'm stuck in a time warp where I'm like, well, this guy resigned like last week. And it's like, no, all these headlines are brand new. So it was last week he started an investigation into himself, and this week he's resigning. It's like, did you not know? Were you not aware of your own actions and what would be discovered if you investigated yourself? He's like, I'm very disturbed by the findings of my own activities. Well, he's retired and gone now, and I'm sure that will drastically change the direction the World Economic Forum goes. Certainly they won't just slot in another member of the international pedophile cabal and continue operations as normal. Hey, speaking of, Bohemian Grove celebrity member list allegedly revealed some members of an elite, super-secretive men's club based in California wine country have allegedly been leaked, with names ranging from former late-night host Conan O'Brien and billionaire former New York mayor Michael Bloomberg to ex-Google CEO Eric Schmidt. The membership list of the Bohemian Grove, a private 2,700-acre campground in Sonoma County that hosts an annual two-week retreat and that has a clubhouse in San Francisco, was allegedly obtained by an independent journalist and confirmed by a club member, according to San Francisco Standard. And so, of course, the cabal operations continue fairly unabated so far, and I guess they're getting ready for their big mock human sacrifice later in the year. Meanwhile, Hillary Clinton says she had, quote, no idea of Epstein's crimes, which I don't believe, which nobody in the world, including she herself, nobody believes this for even a single moment. Okay, just want to lay that out there. Hillary Clinton testifies to House committee she had no idea about Epstein's crimes, which this is the thing about the Epstein list. This is the thing about the Epstein crimes and the people involved. I mean, they're all the most powerful people in the history of the world. And they all got to these positions by being incredibly capable and competent. And so they're sort of damned if they do, damned if they don't admit to knowing about Jeffrey Epstein. Either you were in on it and probably involved in the criminal activity, aware of it and doing nothing to stop it, or as Secretary of State, you were a dumbass that didn't know about the people hanging out with your husband the whole time, which is not believable and would be kind of scary if it was true. If somehow we knew that Jeffrey Epstein was a perverted freak globalist and she didn't, how does that happen? How does the Secretary of the United States have less information than me, a dude with the internet? That doesn't make any sense. So it's like, all right, you didn't know about all of his crimes, then you're an idiot. Or you did know about his crimes and you're a criminal. I think the truth is, he's a criminal idiot. Trump claims Iran is developing missiles to hit the U.S., contradicting intel reports. With nuclear talks hanging in the balance of the potential of another U.S. war of choice in the Middle East, President Donald Trump escalated rhetoric Tuesday night, warning that Iran is moving beyond just regional missile capabilities and setting its sights further west. You can find that story at Infowars.com. We also have this. Senator Thune quashes the talking filibuster move to pass the SAVE Act. He's too busy having little dog parades for fun. He's just far too busy doing a dog parade. I'm serious. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
You're watching The War Room with your host, Harrison Smith. Watch it live right now on X.com. Annihilate.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith. We got a lot of stories to cover today. And I have just piles and piles of news stories to get to. And each one of these stories could and probably, should... We probably should spend an hour on every single one of them. We'll try to get to as many as possible. But I got to go to this video that just broke about an hour ago. Kristi Noem was on with Patrick Bet-David. And in this like 2-minute clip, she reveals the craziest things about the DHS. And it's weird because it's almost like she like kind of doesn't realize what she's saying. Or maybe she does. But like the way she delivers this news is so casual. And it's like, what you're revealing is like insane levels of treason at the highest levels of our government. I'll just go to the video here. This is Kristi Noem, posted an hour ago. I got the clip from Nick Sortor. She's on with Patrick Bet-David. And this clip was titled that Kristi Noem reveals that Elon Musk helped her find spyware that had been implanted on her phone by DHS employees, which is a big deal. I think the other stuff she reveals in this is even bigger of deals. So let's watch Kristi Noem, Secretary of DHS. Here she is.
I can't believe what I found since I've been in this department. I just found the other day a whole room in on this campus that was a secret SCIF, secure facility, that had files nobody knew existed. So we just happened to have an employee walk by a door and wonder what it was and started asking questions. We went in there. There was individuals working there that had secret files that nobody knew about on some of these most controversial topics like that. And now I've got that turned over to attorneys and we're getting to the bottom of what exactly happened there. You know, we have CBP, which is, you know, Customs and Border Protection. They know every traveler that comes into this country, every good that comes in. They're the ones who assess and collect all of the tariffs. But the information that they had on travelers that came in during COVID, what our national labs, which I also have national labs under my jurisdiction, their scientists that participated with that Wuhan lab, how they were traveling back and forth between each other and working on those experiments, it's been eye-opening. And I'll tell you, Patrick, even from the time I came into this office, it was, Elon and his team were extremely helpful to me. They helped me identify that some of my own employees in my department had downloaded software on my phone and my laptop to spy on me.
Stop it.
To record our meetings.
Wow.
They had done that to several of the politicals.
Wow.
And so we ended up bringing in people and that was something that if you didn't have those technology experts here in the department looking at all of our laptops and our phones and recognizing that kind of software, it would still be happening today. So one of the things I need to do and continue to do is partner with technology companies and experts to bring them in and help us, because many times in government, and especially in this department, which was extremely neglected, we were just behind and not up to the standard we should be at. I remember the first 4 months, I couldn't even send a PowerPoint over email from the Department of Homeland Security servers that was longer than 6 pages long. So the backwards thinking of protecting our country was extremely detrimental to keeping us safe. And And many times the deep state, I think what I tell people most of the time is I always believed when people talked about the deep state before that it existed. I never would have dreamed that it was as bad as it is. It is, I'm still every day trying to dig out people who don't love America, that not just work at this department, but also work throughout the federal government.
What did she just say? Okay. Like, I'm serious. That may have been one of the craziest clips I've ever seen from an American politician. She just dropped three insane bombshells that she just like kind of brushes over. Like, do you get what I mean? That she's just like casually like, yeah, we found a hidden skiff that we didn't know about that had people inside working. Like, what? Imagine you're a year into a job. I'm not sure if you said 4 months in or something. And like, there's a building that you're in every day and all of your employees operate out of that building. And one day an employee comes and is like, what's that door? And you're like, I don't know. It doesn't have any labels on it. It's not in any of the manifests. Like, I don't know. Let's see if we can get it open. You get it open and there's just like an office. There's like just people working in there that you've never seen before. And it's a skiff. It's a secure area. And she just didn't know about it. And it's just operating as part of the DHS, but totally without the knowledge of the director of the DHS. Okay, that's a pretty big deal, I would think. You know, unless you're teaching at Hogwarts, having a mysterious room full of people you've never seen before in your building, it seems like a big deal. That seems like bigger than like, huh, weird. And we just found a secret room with a bunch of guys we've never seen before working crazy Mondays. Anyway, it's like, well, what? No, that's like crazy. All right. That's first. Then she casually references, oh yeah, you know, CBP, they are in charge of manifests and traveling in and out of the country. So we have all these records of all these scientists working with the Wuhan lab and carrying out these experiments. She doesn't elaborate, so I can only assume she means creating the virus that caused COVID that shut the world down. So like, what? She just casually drops that they have the travel records of the scientists that created COVID going back and forth from Wuhan to America during the pandemic, before the pandemic. I don't know. She just kind of casually drops that. That's kind of like a crime against humanity. That was kind of like a crazy, like, what? It's like, yeah, you know, the DHS is a crazy place. I found Saddam and Osama playing cards next to a nuclear bomb in the basement. And also, they hacked my phone. It's like, what? No, you have the scientists that created COVID traveling to and from Wuhan on business ahead of this, and you just casually drop that and move on to the next thing, which is also crazy. So the third thing she says is that people in the DHS put spyware on her phone and her laptop to spy, to listen into her meetings and read her communications. Oh, that's treason. That means you're being spied on, probably by another country, at the very least by some sort of stay behind network. I mean, this is like the craziest video I've ever seen. And it's like just being treated like, hey, that's kind of weird. What the hell did we just watch? Kristi Noem, head of the DHS, just announced that there was a secret skiff that they didn't discover for months that had people working inside full time that she'd never seen before. The DHS employees secretly inspired spyware on her phone and her laptop that Elon Musk had to discover to help her fix it. And that she has records of the scientists that created COVID traveling back and forth from the lab. Have you found anything else, Christina? Like, do you realize what you're saying right now and what a giant deal this is? That you just revealed that the Department of Homeland Security that oversees some of the most sensitive and important things in our national security apparatus is just filled with traitors? Just has spies and traitors operating totally independent of any oversight by anybody elected. And she says, you know, they did this to a lot of the politicals. The politicals. You mean the people that are actually accountable to the American people. You mean the people that are supposed to be in charge of the organization they're all being spied on by some sort of malevolent force inside the organization that nobody's voted on, that is apparently secret, and apparently operating in complete contradiction to the well-being of the American people. Well, what are we doing about this, Kristi Noem? What are we doing? Are you arresting all of them and trying them all for treason? Did you track down who planted the software on your phone, and are you torturing them to find out who they're working for? Like, what are we talking about? My mind is blown. I saw that video about 5 minutes before I went live, and I'm just like, what are you talking about? The recent revelation involving Secretary of Homeland Security Kristi Noem and tech entrepreneur Elon Musk unveils a troubling situation within the DHS, allegations of espionage, with claims that spyware was secretly installed on Noem's personal device by her own employees, raises critical questions about security and trust inside a federal agency. No, I think it answers some critical questions, actually. I don't think this is the beginning of an investigation. I think it sounds like you have all of the evidence you need. It sounds like you're just acknowledging and kind of somehow okay with the fact that the deep state is very real and still running things in our country, as in the unelected, invisible, basically. Like, just there are people that are operating at the highest levels of our national security system that the director of their organization just doesn't know exists. They're operating against her. They're apparently spying on her. Like, I wonder why. I wonder what has been the consequence of, at least for some period of time, sensitive conversations between the secretary and maybe the president are being listened in on by somebody, foreigners, Americans, we don't know. Kristi Noem doesn't say. She just drops this stuff as if it's like a fun anecdote. Like, you want to hear how crazy the DHS is? Well, guess what? It's like, they're poisoning Americans with plutonium for fun. So anyway, what else do you want to talk about? It's like, what you just revealed is so incredibly dangerous for America, like, that we have these spies apparently everywhere throughout our entire DHS office. And it's just, have you checked the other doors? Like, have you followed up? Okay, there was one door that you didn't know what it was. Apparently it was a skiff with an office with people working inside that you didn't know were there and you don't know what they're doing. And nobody ever told you what was behind that door. Have you checked the other doors? Have you checked the other? Now listen, just because a door might say service or electrical, maybe it says closet. Like, go ahead and open the door, Kristi. You want to check that door. Even if it's labeled closet, it might be another skiff. It might be an entire another office of subversive foreigners that are operating inside your building. So, Kristi, do me a favor. Go check all the other doors real quick. Can you do that? Send somebody around. Just make sure that you don't have any other skiffs operating that you don't know about, that there's not like a Pizza Hut operating, under the ground somewhere in the DHS. Like, what is going on in our government? What is happening? Why can we not get a handle on this? Is it because people like Kristi Noem? Her reaction. Why is this not a bigger deal? Am I the crazy one? This all sounds insane to me. And Kristi Noem is just moves on. I think we need to watch this again. I think I might be going insane. I think I need to watch it again. This was a different one. This was the FBI, which I don't, it's the same thing over and over. Apparently, like, guys, okay. Do I need to make you a checklist? I'll write you out a checklist right now. Okay. I'll write out a checklist immediately. Like, these are, if you're going to go and become the head of some sort of national security agency like the DHS, here's what you need to do. First, check all the doors. Can we check all the doors in the building? Make sure there's not any offices running that you don't know about, okay? That would be step one. Step two would be check personnel. Can we check the personnel? You know, it's like, I feel like there's a, how do you spell personnel? There's a movie or something, I don't know, where it's like, gee, somebody has stolen the ice cream. And it's like a pan across of all the kids. And one of the kids is just covered in ice cream. And they're just like, wasn't me. Like, I have the feeling you're going to see that type of thing. Like, you're going to go through the DHS. You're going to be able to look down the line of all the employees. And one of the employees is just going to be like shifty and shady. And like he's got like a fake mustache that's half hanging off. And they're just like, which one could it be? Like, okay, so you're going to want to check the architecture of your building. Do you have a room of requirements a la Harry Potter that pops up if and when you need it? Perhaps. I don't know. This, it might be magical. Maybe bring in a wizard if we're having this much trouble getting a handle on the buildings that we operate in. I don't know if you need like an architect, pull up the old blueprints, a wizard, perhaps a Native American shaman could do some sort of sage cleansing ritual. I mean, this is stuff that people do when they move into their apartments. Maybe try doing that when you move in to the DHS. And then you're going to want to ask all of the personnel. And this is a good start. Just ask them. Should be like, hey, do you hate America? And if they say yes, you should fire them immediately. Okay. Just quick blanket thing. Hey, raise your hand if you hate America. And whoever raises their hand, you need to fire them. You need to get them out. And here's the trick. They might not tell you that they hate America. So you need to double check. You need to not take them on their word. Okay. The guy with the fake mustache hanging half off of his face and the, you know, shirt with Chairman Mao's face on it. You know, the guy with like the tattoo, that, you know, shows the Trump assassination and it says like, we won't miss next time. And it's just like prominently displayed on his arm. If he sits there and is like, actually, I love America and, I love Trump. Like, well, but you have a tattoo of him bleeding to death on your arm. That's kind of weird. But anyway, back to work, sir. Like, you need to not take them on their word, not take them, you know, at their word. You need to make sure that they actually do love America. You make sure they're not operating some sort of room of requirement, Dumbledore's army type situation. Stay behind network. Okay. And, yeah, check your phones. Tell you what, if one of your employees, probably this same guy, there's probably like 10 of them. One of the ladies that you have with like the short purple hair and the septum piercing and, the tattoo of AOC with hearts around it. When she comes up and is like, hey, I need to upgrade your phone. And then she takes your phone for a few minutes and comes back with an app that's called just like, normal phone app, you know, or just like, yeah, I downloaded Candy Crush, but don't touch the icon. Don't press it. Don't ever touch the icon because it's not the normal Candy Crush. And she like clicks Candy Crush and it's just like, you know, welcome to the transmission communication zone. Who would you like to spy on today? And she's like, this is a weird version of Candy Crush. I've never played this before. So when the communist infiltrator takes your phone to install mysterious apps on it, go ahead and delete those apps. Just go ahead and delete those. Just go ahead and do that. Go ahead and run an antivirus software just to make sure that you don't have some sort of foreign subversive elements just with access to your personal devices planting apps to spy on you there. I think that's all. I think that's the list. I think I've just about covered it. I don't know. Any other advice I have for perhaps the Kash Patel types out there, the Christy Gnome types out there, when you're taking over a federal organization, you're going to want to double check these things, folks. Please, for the love of God, what are we doing here? So I didn't mean to spend an entire segment on that, but I don't think this revelation is having the impact that it probably should. Who were the scientists that were working in Wuhan lab? How often did they travel back and forth? What did they take with them when they traveled back and forth? Who sent them there? Who were they communicating with here in America? These are questions that you apparently have the answer to. Will you do something about that, please? You might have forgotten. It was a long time ago. But all the way back in 2020, there was a man-made virus that was deliberately leaked from Wuhan lab by Peter Daszak, who himself admitted being instructed by the CIA to do this. And then that virus, it actually spread all over the world and killed a bunch of people directly by infecting them with a virus when they had other conditions or, you know, a low immune system already. And it killed a lot of people. It also sort of destroyed the world in a lot of ways. Its impact in the negative is unimaginable, from just the lack of education, the shutdown of the economy. I mean, I don't know if you remember this, Christy Noem. That was like a crime against humanity. It was like a massive like attack. It was like a chemical attack on the entire world, and it killed millions of people and caused just endless suffering. Now, you apparently know the people that did that to us. So do you see where I'm going with this? Do you see where I'm going with this? That those people should probably be arrested and held to account. And at the very least, at the very, very, very least, Christy Noem, I know that there are these stay-behind networks. There is this deep state. It is hard to get things done officially. Tell you what, you're on a talk show. Why don't you say what you've learned? Why don't you do the investigation yourself, or get a trustworthy intern, okay? This means an intern that is not secretly implanting spy apps on your phone. And what happened to them? Did you do anything to them? Did you fire them? Why did you not make it a big deal? Again, how big of a deal do you think it would be if I secretly, during one of Alex's segments on the show, I snuck in, I got his phone, and I planted a listening app so that I could access his microphone? Do you have any idea what would happen to me if I did that? Again, it's not like, but like, I'm just trying to put this in context. Anybody doing this to their boss would be committing a crime. They'd be sent to jail. They would 100% lose their job at the very least, and probably never be hired by anybody ever again. Who does that? Apparently people at the DHS do that. Did they even get fired? Did you even investigate it? When did this happen? Elon Musk hasn't been there for a year. So I assume a year ago you discovered that, just what are we doing? Can somebody explain this to me? How is it that the secretary of the DHS just admitted there was a secret skiff she didn't know about with people working in it? That they have the manifest and the travel logs of the people who created the virus that was released from Wuhan, COVID-19, and that her own personal devices were planted with spyware by people at the DHS. I know I'm just repeating myself at this point, but like, what the hell is going on? I guess we can move on now. I guess we can move on with that sort of as a foundation, as the understanding that, like, our government just is the deep state, and that the people that we've elected and the appointments that Trump has made to go in are, I think it's normal. I don't know. I'm like speechless at what we just heard. Yeah, I feel like I'm going crazy. We'll move on, folks. We will move on to other stuff, but I don't know. I don't know what else to say. We'll be right back, folks. I just, there's other crazy stuff. But if anybody knows Christy Noem, tell her to give me a call and give her some advice. It's very simple advice, but apparently nobody's told her yet. Okay, yeah, we'll be right back. Stay with us, folks. Just crazy news coming up.
Every guest I have had in studio in the last 6 months, I've given our medical grade USP methylene Bluetooth. I don't even tell them what it's going to do. I just say, here, take this, see what happens. Within 15 to 30 minutes, every guest says they've gotten energy like they've never experienced. Clarity, focus. It's like a fog has lifted. Their critical thinking goes to the next level. And that's what the science shows it does in our cells. It's not a stimulant, but it has that effect because it electrochemically turns up the literal electrochemical electricity in the body. And so he was here a few months ago, didn't know what it was, known me for a long time, said, sure, he'll take it. He heard Kennedy talk about it, RFK Jr. He took it, and it was so game-changing. In the last few months, he ran out of the bottle I gave him, so he wanted more. And the first thing he wanted was to take some more before we even went live on air. That's how amazing this is. You want to do the plug, and I appreciate this.
I do. I came in.
Because you came in saying, I want more methylene blue. And then I looked over when you went on the air. You'd already slurped some down. Your mouth was blue. I said, you're Papa Smurf. So, Patrick Byrne.
How much is the correct amount to put in? About that much?
Yeah, I mean, Kennedy does three droppers. This is really strong.
You gave me some last time. I think you gave it on air. You totally feel the difference. I used the bottle you gave me. It's great. It totally makes it. You can feel it. It just keeps your energy level up and plateaued without bonks. So I love it. I used the bottle you gave me, and I came back to Austin just to pick up this pump.
Well, you can always get it at thealexjonesshore.com. It will certainly give you all you want. We also have the capsules, but we have the strongest medical grade. It's super good for you. It cleans out your mitochondria. Most people get instant energy, like 99% of people, but it's the workout. It's what it does for your skin, your libido. So you've been on it a few months.
I just had that one bottle, but...
And you're saying no letdown. That's the best part. It's not an amphetamine. It's not a speed, but it feels like that.
I see RFKs on it. Yeah. I just used up that bottle, and so for a couple of weeks, I had this great energy, but it's not speed. It's not caffeine. It's nothing like that. It's doing something else for you. So I really...
Well, it skips three levels of the oxygenation process in the cells. It's just next level. It's incredible. And they've suppressed it. And my medical doctor 6 years ago said, get on it. And I said, get USP grade. It didn't do anything. And then our sponsor got this super strong one. I'm like, oh, let me try it. Whoa. I mean, it funds the operation, folks. But I'm telling you, if you haven't gotten our USP grade, real USP grade, Ultimethylene Blue, thealexjonesshore.com, you are missing out. It is so good for you. 99% of people, it's more than that. Like, I've given it to like 400 people, maybe two or three didn't feel it. Some get totally freaked out that they're going crazy. So talk to your physician first. Take a very low dose the first time. You can't take it from SSRIs and other things. It is amazing. TheAlexJonesShore.com. So,
It's not psychosomatic. It's not psycho. You feel it. You feel it.
Well, I didn't tell you what you were going to feel. How fast did it kick in and what did you feel?
I felt it by the time the end of the show. By the time I got, the last time I was here, I felt it probably by the end of the show or by the time I got my car. You feel instant energy, but without the jitteriness of caffeine and focus. What I felt was focus, mental focus. It's probably like why you are as intense as you are, Alex.
It's made me more intense. Well, I was taking full doses at first and then working out so hard that, I had to go.
You look jacked.
Well, I've cut back. The point is, I only take it every 3 days now because it's crazy. Everything we sell, I want is working and is good. That's what I want. I mean, I'd be like a restaurant. I'm going to serve dog to people. They're not going to come back. But I mean, this thing is the most dramatic, quick acting, and it's good for you. It's just insane. And if I could just get a few more percentage of the audience to buy it, all our problems would be solved. Patrick Byrne was totally blown away by it, as every other guest we've given it to has been blown away.
Videos to play you, and I think combined, like these videos should give you a good example, a good cross section of like what's going on in this world. I got a couple of these. I guess let's go to clip number 15 first. Little out of left field, but this is the governor of Oklahoma. Talking about illegal immigration. And this particular clip highlights the inability of Republicans, especially sort of establishment Republicans, to get their heads out of their asses and to realize what time it is and what the hell is going on in this world. I don't understand the world they think they live in or who they think they're dealing with here. But people like this, the governor of Oklahoma, Stitt or something, Kevin Stitt, this guy's the problem. These people in the GOP, these types of people in the Republican Party are the reason we can't get anything done. They're the reason nothing ever happens. There's the reason that no matter how insane the Democrats get, they never respond in kind. And no matter how much support from the people they get to do whatever they possibly can, they just choose not to do it. And this is what is killing our country, is this level of weakness. And this is infuriating, but like there's problems on all sides. This is our problem. This is the albatross around our neck. People like Kevin Stitt, the governor of Oklahoma. Here he is, not knowing what time it is. Let's watch.
But I will also say, you know, even my Democrat governor colleagues, they're not trying to get illegals here to turn them into voters. I don't believe that's what Democrat politicians are trying to do.
Oh, really?
And just like Republicans get a bad rap that people think that Republicans don't like immigrants. That's not true. There's some common ground that if we can sit down together, we can figure this out.
So like my genuine question is like, what has given you that impression? From what data are you deriving the conclusion that the Democrats are not bringing in illegal immigrants to replace Americans? Where are you getting that from? Who is telling you that? They say that's what they're doing. That is what they're doing. Chuck Schumer has made like 3 speeches in the last 2 days saying that's exactly what they're doing. I've got like 4 videos today of Democrats saying that's what they're doing. What is happening? Where are you coming up with this? The only thing I can possibly imagine is that sincere dumbasses like Mr. Stitt here, Governor Stitt, get calls from slimy subversives like Tim Walz who go, us? Bringing in immigrants to replace Americans? Never. And gullible old Kevin Stitt goes, yeah, it does sound crazy, doesn't it? And you're a good man. You wouldn't do that. And Tim Walz is like, yeah, totally. It's the only thing I can imagine. The only thing I can imagine is that basically the Democrats just lie to Kevin Stitt and he just believes them. Because they must be lying to him personally, because they don't say this in public. In public, they say, we're replacing Americans and we're going to make all the illegals citizens. So where is he getting like, and you can see it in action right there. It's what we talk about continuously. He's sitting there going, you know, the Democrats claim that we don't want illegal immigrants because we hate immigrants. But what he means is that like, this guy is still stuck in this old mindset. He is absolutely terrified and like genuinely so of being called racist. He thinks it's the worst thing ever. And he really doesn't want anybody to think he is. And he really wants to do whatever he can to not seem racist. And so he's like, no, we there's economic arguments against immigrants and we don't hate immigrants. And that's a lie. And so they claim that we have the bad motives and that's not true. It's like, yeah, because you're like a decent person that actually doesn't hate anybody and that is sincere about what you're saying. Stop projecting that onto them. So he takes this experience he's had where he's like, they say it's because I'm racist, but I'm not. The right wingers say that they're trying to bring in illegal immigrants because they want to replace Americans. That's similar. These two things are the same. We're ascribing motive, even though we don't have it. And it's like, dude, this is the difference. They are liars. They do have ulterior motives. They're not even ulterior. They announce it. They tell you they're doing it. But sure, ulterior motives. They lie to your face. And it's just like the perfect example of the dumbass gullible Republican that both falls for their, PSYOP, their fear PSYOP of, oh, I can't resist immigration or else I'm a racist. And then also projects baselessly onto Democrats that actually I'm going to assume they have the best intentions, even though their actions directly contribute to the destruction of my country in a deliberate way. I'm just going to assume the best of them. I'm just going to assume that that's all a mistake and a smear, even though they don't deny it. And I'm just going to assume that they also are just like me and don't want America to be replaced, because that's crazy. And it's like, yeah, they're crazy. They hate you. They're replacing your people on purpose. They're saying it to your face, and you're not believing them for some reason. You're just choosing to believe that they are just like you. Why, dude? What is wrong with you? Why are we run by gullible idiots? Do you want me to show you some videos? Do you want me to show you videos? These freaking scumbags. Clip 38 here. Illinois congressional candidate Kate Abugablogog talking about giving backdoor citizenship to every criminal that scrabbled their way across the border in the last 4 years. Why do you think this isn't happening, you absolute morons? Let's watch.
Abolish and prosecute ICE. We need to repeal the Patriot Act. We need to lift refugee caps. And we need to offer complete amnesty and citizenship to any immigrant here who has not committed a violent crime. Additionally, we need trials. There is no moving forward without justice. Stern words for Greg Bovino aren't enough. Body cameras aren't enough. We need people willing to put everything on the line, not when it's politically convenient, and not have their hands in their pockets.
And again, she's just reflecting what Chuck Schumer himself, leader of the Democratic Senate, keeps giving speeches about. We're going to give citizenship to everybody who's here illegally. And we've got Republicans who are just like, they don't really believe that. So why would they say it? What are you talking about? Of course they're going to do that. And the scariest thing is that these silly, silly Republicans, trying not to curse, are going to be this way up to and past the point that the Democrats get exactly what they want, which means that the ICE officers right now that are putting their lives on the line and going out and arresting some of those dangerous people in the world, following lawful orders, fulfilling the demands as laid out by the law written and codified by Congress, despite doing everything legally, despite complying to an absurd degree with every intervention from any leftist activist judge, when the Democrats get in power, they're going to send the police to those people's houses, these people, these men in ICE who have families, who have done nothing wrong, who have served their country, are going to be hauled off in chains and spend the rest of their lives in prison. And the whole time, Republicans, like the governor of Oklahoma, are going to be going, well, you know, we do have the rule of law in this country. And if, you know, we got to let the process play out. We got to, you know, if they're innocent, I have faith in our system. And I think, you know, if they were obeying their orders, then they'll get away. And it's like, so half the country, the Democrats are just like, we're destroying America. We're giving citizenship to anybody who came over here. We're going to support them their entire lives. And we're going to arrest our political opponents for behaving lawfully. We are going to use the power of the government to arrest our political enemies. You people and your supporters, we're going to arrest all of you for daring to, you know, be a part of a government program that we disagree with. Because obviously they recognize that this is a clash of civilizations. This is a full-fledged soft civil war taking place right now. And they don't care about the rule of law. They don't give a damn about oppression or any of this crap. Obviously, they never have before. Suddenly they care about the Fourth Amendment. Suddenly they give a damn about the First Amendment or the increasing militarization of our domestic police forces. They don't care about this stuff. They just want to use it against us. And they want to make sure that we can't ever use it against them by punishing anybody who follows orders, because they know it's not about punishing people that did bad things. They want to punish people that didn't do anything as a lesson to all of the rest of them of, hey, if you even help the Democrats, we will throw you in prison. I mean, if you even help the Republicans, we will throw you in prison. If you follow the orders of Donald Trump, might not be today, might not be tomorrow, but they say it. The governor of Pennsylvania has said there's no statute of limitations on murder. Everybody in ICE will be a part of a RICO statute to charge all of them with any murder that any ICE officer commits. And there's no statute of limitations. They get into office next year, it'll be then. If they get into office 10 years from now, it'll be then. One way or another, they're going to arrest ICE officers for following orders. Lawful orders. Not just, approved of, but obligated by the Constitution. And dumbass Republicans like Governor Stitt will just sit there and go, I know I don't want them to go to jail, so why would I think that they're just trying to use their power to throw their political enemies in prison? I wouldn't do that. And I think we need to stop looking at the worst in everybody. And it's just like, you're a bigger problem than they are. We can handle them, not with people like you leading us. We could deal with the left in an instant if we had people like this, not just giving them every benefit of the doubt, ignoring them when they say exactly what they're going to do, and just capitulating at every pass on some sort of weird delusion that they're just like us and we all agree on the same thing really at the end of the day. And they're just like, we are replacing all of the white people with Mexicans because we hate you. And they're just like, you don't mean that. Okay, whatever. Whatever, dude. It's like, this is the problem. These people are the problem. Senator Thune's the same thing. How did it get to be all of them? Why is it all of them? Because people like Thomas Massie and Marjorie Taylor Greene that aren't like this get ousted by them? Beyond infuriating. But obviously the right wing doesn't have a monopoly on stupidity. Let's go to clip 36 here. This one set me off this morning when I first saw it. Democrats, man, as bad as Republicans are, these damn Democrats. Here's Bill Maher, like, kind of pretending to understand what the Epstein files are about, but then doing his best to downplay and undercut the severity of what we actually learned. He's talking to Lauren Boebert. Let's watch.
I apologized to QAnon a couple of weeks ago. I said, when it comes to this Epstein stuff, you had it righter than me. Now, they also believe a lot of real batshit nonsense. But when
you think it's batshit.
They
right?
Don't eat babies. Democrats don't eat babies. You think they eat babies?
There is a lot of consumption talk in the stuff. Are there babies? I don't know. No, you can laugh all you want. But, I mean, there is some sick stuff in here that is implying.
But that's not eating babies. Come on.
I'm not saying they're eating babies. I'm saying there is talk of consumption, and it ain't pizza. And I'm not saying that I am QAnon by any means, but this is deep, dark, satanic, awful, sacrificial, and this stuff is gross.
See, this is what I'm saying. Here I am, sacrificing myself, saying, you know what? I was wrong, QAnon, and then you don't meet me halfway. You insist they might be eating babies.
Here's
what it is. QAnon said there's this vast elites around the world conspiracy to, traffic kids and pedophiles, and they were more right than I thought they were. Okay, so that's what I'm giving you. And it wasn't just Prince Andrew in the parlor with the dildo, okay? It was a lot of different people.
That's what you'll give me. You'll give us nothing, Bill Maher. You're wrong. You were wrong, and the level to which you were wrong, you're embarrassing. Yeah, he posted this clip, by the way. He thought this was a good clip for him. I'll give you that. You'll give us what? That you were wrong and an idiot for years on end? And that you were actively, whether you knew it or not, covering up for and criticizing and demeaning the enemies of this very elite pedophile ring? So, like, what does he think is happening, right? He's like, you won't even meet me halfway. Meet you halfway to what? Being wrong? So we're right, you're wrong. He wants to meet you halfway to being wrong. They sure as hell weren't eating pizza and frozen jerky. Please explain to him the files what jerky meant. We don't even need any of that stuff. I'm trying to get in the mindset of a liberal. What do they think is happening? He thinks that, like, acknowledging what's real is some sort of, like, act of generosity from him. He's like, I'm sacrificing myself on this. What, acknowledging you were wrong? So you had a stance and it was wrong. And then the proof came out that you were wrong, and you want to act like it's a virtue for you to admit it? We don't need you to admit it. We always knew you were wrong. Now we have the evidence. It only makes sense that you would acknowledge that at a certain point. He's like, they were more right than not about the Epstein stuff. Okay, so for the last 10 years, that so-called QAnon, aka people who just knew what was actually happening, the correct people, people that understood what was really going on, we're talking about elite pedophile sex trafficking networks, and for 10 years, you've been laughing at it and covering it up and ignoring it and mocking anybody that talked about it, allowing these very networks to continue operation probably till this day. But certainly, you know, you were operating in service of them. Now you realize 10 years later, you were wrong the entire time. But there's no sort of mea culpa about it. There's no, like, actual revelation of, like, oh, my God, they were right. I was wrong. Every time they told me something and I laughed and scoffed at them, I should have been paying attention. And hey, if we are right about the details, if we are right about just in general what was happening, might we be right about the motivations? Might we be right about the stuff not yet exposed in the files, censored in the files, hinted at, but not made explicit in the files? So you're willing to believe that there is a network of international elite that traffic humans, that engage in torture, that engage in sex trafficking with underage people, that almost certainly engage in murder, since there is explicit talk of dead bodies and murder victims and killing people in the Epstein files. Oh, but eating people, that's a bridge too far. Cannibalism? No way. I'll never believe that. So Lauren Boebert should have said, it was like, look, you're apologizing now. You'll apologize again in a couple years when I'm right about this too. Where does this arrogance come from? That he actually still feels like he's the superior one, he's the condescending one, when what he's actually doing is admitting that his entire worldview is built on a faulty foundation, and that he was abjectly wrong about one of the most important things happening in our entire society for the last 10 years. He's like, you won't meet me halfway? I was trying to figure out, like, what does that even mean, meet me halfway? How about, I was wrong, please tell me what else you know? How about, I was completely blind to this obvious, glaring reality, which should have been slapping me in my face. If you were right about this, gee, might you have been right about other stuff? What more do I need to know? How about a shred of humility? You condescending jackass who's wrong? Who's wrong about everything? Here I am saying I was wrong, and you won't meet me halfway. They're eating babies, Bill, and why are you covering up for them eating babies? Why is that so far out of the realm of possibility? You ever seen a popular show called Dahmer? Do you not know that cannibalism is still a fairly widely enjoyed fetish for degenerates and insane evil people? So he's willing to admit that there's an elite pedophile ring for which the QAnon supporters, you know, tried to make public, tried to get people to care about for 10 years. But you're still the wrong ones for what? Not like capitulating to their demands that you stop talking about stuff that we know is true? So again, like this is just, these are the two issues. You've got Republicans that are right morally, that are right factually, and that are just cowards and idiots and won't ever act on their knowledge, won't ever step out of the approved path to just do what's necessary. And then you have Democrats that are complete dumbasses, that don't know anything, that are wrong about everything, and that are so unbelievably confident and condescending and act with, you know, extreme aggressiveness on all of their wildest whims. And she's like, how did it get to be this way? Why is it this way? It should actually be the opposite way. The Republicans should be ruthlessly crushing the Democrats at every pass because everything they believe are lies, everything they claim to support is bullshit. And the liberals need to have some humility and shut the hell up after you admit that you're wrong about everything. After you admit that for 10 years you've been mocking something that was absolutely true and that in effect you were covering it up and helping it to continue. We're in a pincer move of stupidity and confidence. And we're going to be joined by Ben Bankus in the next hour. So we'll lighten up a little bit. Just got to say, first couple of videos today, not very conducive to a sanity-filled broadcast because of the overwhelming insanity on every level, at every angle. We'll go to a video of Ben Bankus in the first five so you can get a taste of his stand-up comedy, if we have that censored. And in the meantime, I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. We have a ton of great supplements there, and folks, it's back. It's back. We've all been waiting for it. The crowds have not stopped chanting it. They demand it. They cry for it. They scream for it. It's BOGO Supps. That's right, folks. It's BOGO Supps at thealexjonesstore.com. If you listen closely, you can hear the fireworks going off right now. It's happening. BOGO Supps, folks. If you don't know what BOGO Supps is, let me explain. Buy one, get one free supplements. Get a free bottle of CMOS or Shilajit gummies with the purchase of creatine powder. So buy yourself the ultimate creatine at thealexjonesstore.com and you get absolutely free a bottle of CMOS gummies or Shilajit gummies. It's buy one, get one supplements, aka BOGO Supps. Plus, you're getting 25% off all apparel. That means t-shirts, hats, and hoodies. This sale ends midnight Wednesday, March 4th. But do not wait. Go now to thealexjonesstore.com and shop happy, knowing that not only you're getting BOGO Supps, you're keeping us on air and in the fight against stupidity of all stripes. One of the products I've been taking on a regular basis for a while, actually ever since Rex introduced it, I've been taking the Power Drive combo. That includes Power Plant and Methyl Drive, but together they really maximize their power. Power Plant in particular is a extremely powerful supplement that really doesn't get enough love from us. It's an advanced adaptogen complex, which is sort of like a new super male vitality, but it's called Power Plant. So unlock your human potential. Power Plant drives more oxygen to your cells, controls cortisol under pressure, and supports both total and free testosterone. Three of the most important levers in human performance in one formula. Built to stack with methylene blue to take it farther, it's Power Plant at thealexjonesstore.com.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexjonesstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store. .com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
What reason you hate Trump?
Obvious. I like how all the liberals clap. They're like, we know what that is. Nobody else does. Nobody else knows. Okay, well, okay, let me just get. Number one, he's white. Be honest. If Trump was just black, like if Trump was straight up actually black, like I'm not talking like Justin Trudeau, like black on Halloween. I'm talking. But the Democrats, the liberals, they'll live right in the crime. And then they'll open a coffee shop and buy the building and evict everybody in the building and gentrify the area. You know? What's over there? Oh. Well, it's better than fucking shooting me dead. They lasted almost 9 minutes. Did they have a nose ring? Yeah, when they have those, it starts going off or whatever.
This is racist. We need to leave. These people are having too much fun.
Like the woke chicks, that's all they care about. They're like, you know, Palestine and abortion. Like they're killing babies over there. It's like, eh, you've killed a few. Yeah, your pussy's like the IDF. And they're always fighting for the, you know, the late term abortion. I don't know why women are so obsessed with this late term. Like it's pretty lazy. Like they're literally fighting for the law is just like, so you're, like, you're lazy. You're just a lazy bitch that, you know, was like, ugh, well, maybe next week I'll do it.
I kind of want the Chinese to take over already. I'm ready. I think they'll solve a lot of problems, would they not? Right? They solved the homeless problem. Like, oh, you like camping? Oh, we build you a nice camper. It's near Fort McMurray. Yeah, use the shower. Oh. Also, no more gay people. Okay, sorry. China, all the like right-wing people will be like, I don't want China to take over. They come in and be like, no more gays, no more homeless. You got smoke in sight. You'd be like, fuck it, who's the new prime minister?
Now for a moment of silence for Renee Good. Really hope that dog's okay. And her pet. It's what you don't want when you're dealing with the police, your lesbian wife. So drive, baby, drive.
Are you tired of stubborn fat that just won't budge no matter how hard you diet? Well, let me introduce you to Ultimate Burn, the most powerful science-backed fat-torching formula available today. Inside every capsule of Ultimate Burn is 200 milligrams of GlucoVantage dihydroberberine, a supercharged form of berberine that clinical studies show slashes insulin resistance, blocks new fat storage, and helps your body burn fat for fuel. Then we crank the heat with a massive 120 milligrams of Calorie Burn GP Grains of Paradise, packing a full 15 milligrams of active 6-paradol. Human trials prove it fires up your brown fat, ramping your daily calorie burn by up to 200 extra calories a day. Then we finish it with cinnamon polyphenols and bioparin to make sure every milligram hits your system hard. The result is faster fat loss, smaller waist, better blood sugar, and energy that lasts all day. Ignite your results with the real deal. Grab Ultimate Burn now and watch your body finally start burning fat like it's supposed to. Stock is limited. Get yours before it's gone. It's Ultimate Burn. Light the fire at thealexjonesstore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
Engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. The Alex Jones Store.
Peeling back the layers of the day's events to reveal the core truth. War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, joined today by Ben Bankus. You can follow his tour dates at BenBankus.com. He's a comedian from Toronto living in Austin, Texas. You can check out his comedy specials called Gaytatorship and Please Wear a Mask on YouTube at Ben Bankus Comedy, I think, on YouTube, right? And or just search Ben Bankus Instagram, Ben Bankus 2, on Facebook at Ben Bankus Comedy, and on X at Ben Bankus. It's easy when it's all just his name, pretty much. Welcome to the show, Ben.
What's going on, man? Thanks for having me.
It's my pleasure. Obviously, you're a comedian. We just saw a little compilation of some of your stuff. Very funny. I was looking around at headlines, thinking, what could be fodder for comedy? There's not a lot. Everything is horrible. How do you take this horrible nonsense we deal with on a daily basis and try to transmute it into something that can make people laugh?
The worse, the better. The worst things are... the more people need a laugh. And, you know, if you've ever been to, you know, the worst moments, you know, a funeral or something like that, somebody's got to laugh. There's got to be a moment of brevity. And, you know, I think my comedy's cathartic for people who come out and, you know, want to laugh. And, you know, yeah, there's always going to be people who are horrified and upset, and you know, those people have a tough time going through life. Let's be honest. If you can't laugh at a joke, you saw the United States hockey team, you know, the blowback or whatever from, they laughed at Trump's joke. How could, and that's the big question from the media. Why would you do that? That's not a question that a rational person asks somebody. Why would you laugh at that? How could you, you know, I get it. Maybe your wife, how could you laugh at that? Yeah. But laughing is not necessarily something you can control. And, you know, if you're laughing, it was funny. That's really the bottom line.
Yeah. Well, you're just happy. I can imagine winning the gold. You're just going to be giggling at everything as soon as you have a major victory on the world stage that will last for all of history. So like they're laughing because they're giggly. Half the time I can't figure out whether I'm laughing because, you know, I'm being sarcastic and, you know, I'm sort of laughing at myself, or if I'm just like, it's just a coping mechanism for not going insane. Because I mean, this stuff that we deal with on a daily basis. So, you know, one of the things you talked about in the set we just watched, or, you know, one of the sets we just watched, was like late term abortion. And it's just like, how did this ever become a thing? Who made the argument to get here? Like, what is this? And is it funny or am I just laughing because it's too horrible to actually like deal with? Which I guess that's a good thing about comedy is it can help you deal with stuff like that. Is there any risk that you're like downplaying some of that stuff just by laughing at it? Should we be more serious in the face of all of this?
No. I think almost everything should be downplayed if you're able, unless you want to go through life angry and upset at every small thing or big thing. I don't think that, you know, the people who don't want to laugh at things and don't want, you know, want to make an excuse. Oh, I only laughed because I was nervous or because I felt uncomfortable or, you know, these are all excuses. Fake excuses you give when the truth is, I thought it was funny, but I can't tell you that because you can't handle that. And my comedy isn't for people who can't handle the truth. And, you know, the truth is funny. You know, you can laugh at something that you genuinely, you know, think might be a bad thing or something that you genuinely don't agree with, but you laugh at it because it's funny. And we, you know, America is a country that, you know, free speech is a huge part of America. And we, you know, you can't lose it. I mean, look at Canada. They're actually hammering those hockey players even harder than anybody in the U.S. media about how dare you laugh at that. And, you know, they don't want to come out and say it, but in reality, the media views Trump as a fascist, in at least in Canada for sure. I know the left-wing media in America also, but they are kind of now pulling back a bit because they're getting people killed by saying that. They think that Trump's a fascist in Canada, but they also don't want to come out and say it. But it's, you know, they're not living in the same reality, so they won't understand the same jokes.
Yeah, and that's definitely a big part of it. I do think there is something like, if you can laugh at something, even laughing at yourself, there's just something about it that it just means that you're like, you're just an open person and you're not rigid. You're not, stuck in your ways. Like I can believe something and also kind of, you know, laugh at the implications of it. And it seems like we have a lot of dividing lines. You know, obviously you got Republican, Democrat, you got whatever else. I think one of the major dividing lines is like who has a sense of humor and who doesn't, who can laugh at themselves and who can't. And like this comes about a lot with the hockey team, but also with the Olympics. There's this discussion now online, very important discussion, which it actually kind of is because it metaphysically gets to this divide I'm talking about between Alyssa Liu and Eileen Gu, I think her name is. And it's like there are all these women being like, but Eileen Gu is so beautiful. She looks like a model. She's so much prettier than Alyssa Liu. But all of the men love Alyssa Liu because she seems bubbly and happy. And it's just like something comes across. And so, you know, all the right wingers love this, Alyssa Liu figure skater, and all the left is, it's like, no, you're supposed to hate her. She's a progressive, but we just like that she's bubbly and seems happy and joyful. And Eileen Gu seems kind of like a frigid woman. So I think, you know, there's a weird divide going on here that's highlighted again in another Olympic, situation. I guess there's a long-winded way of asking you, Eileen Gu or Alyssa Liu. I mean, which one are you going with? Which team are you on?
Which one's less Chinese?
That's a good debate. That's a good question. I don't know. They're both Hapas. They're both.
Is one on Team China though?
One is politically more Chinese, but they're both test tube babies that are half white, half Chinese.
But one of them's on. Are they both Team America or one of them's Team America?
Gu is Team China.
See, I mean. Why is she on Team China? I mean, you know, she is obviously very intelligent. I mean, maybe too intelligent sometimes. They asked her a question. How come you answer questions so quickly? And I didn't really like that question, but then she answered it and I was like, oh, well, you know, I don't know. Maybe there is too happy. I get it. She's 22, whatever. She's half American, half Chinese, but she chose to, be on the team that has people in concentration camps. So, and that's Team China, by the way, unless you're a Democrat, then I guess that's Team America, but,
or Team Australia.
They think that, yeah, well, they think the ICE facilities are concentration camps or, you know, or Australian COVID facilities were probably closer to that, than an ICE facility. But look, if you take away people's ability, if you take away people's senses of humor, they're much easier to control. If people aren't able to joke freely and understand the nuances of life and of moments, that how could you laugh in this moment? It's like, you know how I could laugh in this moment. You're not asking an honest question of how could you. You're asking, the real question is, why aren't you liberal? That's the question that they want to ask. Why aren't you a far leftist? If you were a far leftist, you wouldn't have laughed. You would have left the room. You wouldn't have accepted. Yeah, but not everybody is that. And what happened to the whole coexist thing? It's not about coexisting. It's about one side needs to be right and the other side needs to be wrong. And laughing at things, like if you're, remember when you're a kid and you're in the class and the teacher says something, and you're like, and then who's laughing at that? Where are those teachers now? Still teaching, being losers. So, like, you know, it's a sign, you said it's a sign of being open. It's a sign of intelligence. Yeah. If you can't laugh at something, if you're not a person in a, if, you know, when you're in a room, doesn't matter what it is, say you're at the DMV, something happens, somebody makes a comment, there's somebody, you make eye contact with another intelligent person and you go, and you roll your eyes and they, both of you know exactly what's going on. That's a sign of intelligence. But if you look at somebody and you roll your eyes and they look at you like, what? That's not very funny. That person's an idiot. I'm sorry, but that's just, this is common sense and people need to be reminded of this. And it's sad to see the leftist reaction to everything the way it is, because deep down, I think that they know they're wrong. And that's why they're so upset, because if they knew they were right, they wouldn't be that mad.
Hmm. You think that's true? I can't figure it out. I'm genuinely asking, because I'm constantly wondering, like, do they think this is true? Do they all know they're lying? Like, yesterday, there was a video of Ilhan Omar being asked, why did you say that white men are dangerous and we should be scared of white men? And she's like, I didn't say that. Everybody knows she says that. The video's gone viral 10 million times. So it's like, okay, what is happening here? Do her constituents just not care about the truth? Do they think it's clever that she's lying? Like, what is wrong with the left? Genuinely, what is wrong with them? And, you know, why? I don't know. I can't get it, man. Like, why don't they like humor? Why don't they care when their, you know, politicians lie? And do they know they're lying and they think it's all clever? Like, what is it?
Well, I mean, there's a couple things. You know, it's easy to control people with the lie that they're doing. So they've convinced so many people to believe the lie that it doesn't make sense for them to backtrack. The lie and all of these, you know, hypersensitivities to every little thing and colonialism. And I saw a statue and it made me, I had generational trauma about marginalized communities. And there's a, you know, all these new words, if you're using one of these words that they invented in the last 5-7 years, marginalized and normalize, and we need, you know, all these, you shouldn't be taken seriously, because these are not normal ways of communicating. They're ways of, that we just invented, and people say, well, that's progressivism. It's, we had to come up with the solution. There was no problem to begin with. And the reason all of these words exist is because universities, if you go to a university, you want to write an article, or sorry, you want to write an essay, they ran out of things to write essays about like 10 years ago or 15 years ago. And I remember when I was being prepped for university and I had this gay high school teacher that he was like, if you're ever worried about what to write about, just talk about marginalized. Just talk, you know, and it's that easy, because you just go, here's the story. Okay, there's this community. They're marginalized. Here's proof. Boom. There's my essay. A+. And so those people kept doing that. But then instead of just getting the degree and going into the real world and becoming successful at something, a lot of those people either didn't do anything with the degree and are upset, or they continued their education, became masters or PhD students. And then they just stayed in the university system and then started teaching those things as if they were like serious. And then they started affecting policy. And, it's an unfortunate thing. And, I don't really know how we're going to backtrack, because so much of the population, especially the young female population, has been trained from a young age by these universities and other public schools that, you know, your emotions are valid. Even if it's not, you know, okay, the truth, who cares about the truth? How do you feel? And that is why we're in this situation. You have a bunch of brainwashed people that genuinely need help, but aren't willing to get it. And at the same time, the people who represent them, the politicians, are encouraging the behavior. They're encouraging it. You saw it after Charlie Kirk. They encouraged, you know, Ilhan Omar went on TV after Charlie Kirk was murdered and said, you know, oh yes, it is bad that he was killed, but he was racist. It's like, who says something like that after that type of incident? Only somebody who thinks that what happened should happen to people who feel that way. And the people who are, look at the trans shooters. Oh, you know, in Canada, the trans shooter and in that state or province in Canada, BC, they have these tribunals around free speech that some professor or high school principal he's fined $750,000. Luckily it's Canadian, so it's less, but he was fined all this money because he only believed in two genders. But then there's people but they're more concerned about the trans person who shot the people. There's, you know, that make sure that we gender them properly on the news, even though they're number one,
the gun person, not the gunman.
The gun person, but they're number one, they're dead. So I don't know whose feelings we're protecting here. Otherwise, basically what the media is saying, we need to gender this person properly as to not upset more trans people, and then they will do more damage. And that's, I'm sorry, but that's not a way to make the population at large feel safe. So it's just, we're just living in this weird thing where the mainstream media is not representing the average person, and they are feeding into the delusions of the mentally ill. And the reason behind it is simple. It's easier to control mentally ill people, than it is to control not mentally ill people.
Yeah, it can be as simple as that. And that's one of those things that it's like, you know, you hear that the cops are worried about misgendering the mass murderer, and you're like, that's just intrinsically funny. That's like a joke right there. But also, there's part of my brain that is like, what the hell is going on? This isn't funny at all. What is happening to us? So that's why I'm just like, I'm laughing, but I'm also like, well, what do we do? Who do I need to punish for this? Like, I don't know, man. I'm just going insane. Like, you have headlines like this. Leonardo scrubs social media evidence as millions demand cannibal arrest for child meat horror. And it's like, is this even real? I don't even know if this is real anymore. Are they trying to arrest Leonardo DiCaprio for eating people? Maybe. I don't know. Is it a real story? I can't even tell anymore. Half the time, I'm just like, I assume that's true. I assume Leonardo DiCaprio's eating babies. Why not? Why wouldn't I assume that with everything going on? But I have no freaking idea. So everything is just insane. I guess if you can't laugh at it, you're going to just go insane. But that's the – it's like when they hear that, when they hear the police – like the liberals, when they hear the police are worried about, are correcting themselves, saying, sorry, gun person, not gunmen. Nothing intersects with that in their brain that goes, wait, this is a little bit absurd. I have the wrong priorities. They're just on this path of retardation. Can a comedy help them bring it back? Is that the missing ingredient that we just need to show them so they can laugh and go, you know, I was being a little silly there. Instead of attacking them, we need to, it's that spoonful of sugar. Help the medicine go down.
I think it should help if they were willing to watch it and with an open mind. And you know, I'm sure some people who comment negatively on my videos have laughed and that pissed them off because I made them laugh at something that they held so dearly to themselves.
Right.
So, yeah.
That's what we need. We need to give liberals the Ludovico treatment, Clockwork Orange style, eyes pinned open. Ben Benkis specials on the big screen. Couple days of that. I think we could do wonders.
I wanted to say something else that, you know, why doesn't something go off in their brain when they see that this is becoming so extreme and so crazy? And the reason is because we have such a us versus them mentality on both sides, but I mean, for sure on the Democrat side where they're like, you know, I will 100% never agree with anything that a Republican does. Whereas a Republican, sometimes a Democrat, we do agree. I mean, certain things, I mean, you know, I don't know, legalization of drugs. I mean, you know, some drugs, weed and stuff like that. And, you know, I don't necessarily think that there's no, you know, there's not a lot of pushback on that. Even like abortion, like, you know, my thing is, personally, like, do I think it should be illegal? I don't know, but I think that at least you should have some shame if you're doing
right.
It. You know, whether it should be illegal or not, I don't know. But, you know, so the point is that they see this thing happening. They're gendering the killer properly and making that their you know, their main goal, it seems like in that press conference over and above making families feel safe or whatever. And why don't the Democrats speak up about it or liberals speak up about it? Because they see this, they go, this is really bad for society, but I'm winning.
Mm.
And that's what they think. So they go, even though I think this is bad, I'm on side with it because it means our side is winning. And, that's what it is. It's a tribalism thing where it's us versus them.
Yeah, that definitely is a large part of it. There's also this like massive mental construct that they all seem to operate in. I don't know if we'll go to the video, but I've got a video. It's a little bit longer, but you know, it's a leftist basically talking about how they don't believe crime exists and like, I don't know if murderers should be sent to prison. And the interviewer asked her a really simple question. He's like, so you don't think murderers should be sent to prison? And she's like, I don't have time to give you a lecture on criminal justice. And it's like, that's such a liberal response, right? Where it's like, this is a simple question. It demands a simple answer, but they can't answer anything simply. If you say, are men men or women women? It's, well, you don't know the construct that I'm operating in. Let me give you an hour long. Why does all of their beliefs require like a lecture course to even understand? That's a big problem as well.
They're not trying to be part of society in a functional way. And it's really becoming like anarchy where, and they're pretty open about that. Like in some ways, you know, we don't want police. We don't want government, you know, to function. We don't want, unless the only reason they want government is to give money to them and illegal immigrants and, you know, criminals should be let out after, you know, let out of prison early or never go to prison, even if they killed somebody because they had a bad life. You know, the people with these opinions generally are not wealthy people. They're not rich people. They're not people who are successful. And what they don't realize is that the best form of protest is actually becoming a successful, prominent individual. And, you know, are there successful people on the left who are pushing this agenda, like Soros and other billionaires and multimillionaires? Yes. Do they fully believe it? I don't know. I think that they also just, it's part of this human tribal thing where it's haters. It's people who hate. We hate those guys. How are we going to get rid of them? We're going to make up a bunch of bullshit and convince everybody about all this bullshit.
And you know that,
and then act.
That makes sense when it's an outsider trying to destroy another population. I can rationalize that. The crazy part comes when that population goes, yeah, destroy us. It's like, that's where it gets like, wait, what the hell is actually going on? More Ben Benkis on the other side. Don't go anywhere.
You have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
Oh, this is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works? It does. It counters that. It's.
Oh, let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest though, you got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But it's
so this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways, I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Oh, come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones' methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios. And I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, I'm just going to use for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on it.
This methylene blue, it is tremendous. I would not be making this video if I didn't believe in it. After I take it throughout the day, I start feeling better and better and better. My workouts, I feel like I'm 15 years younger than I am. And the app that I record my running on proves that my workouts are getting better. So I gotta tell you what, God, family, country, InfoWars, and methylene blue. Get it while you can.
Powered by Methylene Blue, Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is The War Room. I'm joined by comedian Ben Bankus. You can find tour dates for Ben on his website, benbankus.com. You can also follow him on X at Ben Bankus and Instagram at benbankus2. That's B-A-N-K-A-S. That's how you spell that last name. Talking about comedy and the silliness of the world that we live in. And I think this may be one of the best examples, a very recent one, to what we're talking about, how just like things are just intrinsically funny if you look for them. This is like the best example I could find recently. And it's the fact that this meme has been going around for like 20 years. And it's a map of Iran. It says, of course, Iran wants war. Look how close they put our country, put their country to our military bases. Right. And we have military bases all around Iran. Of course, they want war. Look how dangerously close they are to our military bases. That's the joke. Here's the reality. It's Marco Rubio literally saying exactly this. Let's watch.
The other thing I would point you to, however, is that Iran possesses a very large number of ballistic missiles, particularly short-range ballistic missiles that threaten the United States and our bases in the region and our partners in the region and all of our bases in the UAE and Qatar and in Bahrain. And they also possess naval assets that threaten shipping and try to threaten the U.S. Navy. So I want everybody to understand that in beyond just the nuclear program, they possess these conventional weapons that are solely designed to attack America and attack Americans.
So what do we do here, Ben? What do we do here when the memes are manifesting themselves in reality, where long-standing jokes are now actually the pitch that they're giving us as to why we need to go to war with Iran? This is the type of thing that, I'm telling you, drives me insane. How is this real?
I mean, you know, I'm pro-America. I think that, you know, in some ways I agree with the joke in a sense that, you know, countries know what America's doing and what, and generally why is America ever really attacking another country is because they're not cooperating. And, you know, and you can make the point, well, they have their own country. Well, they have an Islamic regime that, you know, I mean, something that would make Mamdani proud going on over there. And I mean, one of my best friends is Persian and has family there. And Iranian people are very smart people. Toronto, Canada, where I'm originally from, I think some of the biggest pro free Iran, meaning pro America going in and freeing the country from the Islamic regime protests. I think they had over 500,000 people wow. in the streets. So, you know, what are these countries gaining from, you know, being an adversary of America versus working with America, working with the entire world for a better, for a better future? You know, eventually, we want to go to space and I mean, we're in space, but humans going to Mars and the moon and other solar systems. And, you know, who's going to come with us? That's the question, because who's going to go? Probably, and I have a joke about this. So I don't want to give away too much, but probably white people, probably Jews, probably some Asians. You know, I don't know how many other people are going to be brought to Mars based on how much they seem to just be entrenched in these ultra, ultra religious views, that are really, you know, and look, religion's important, but if you're taking away people's rights, I mean, Iran is not a free country. And, you know, it seems like they don't really want to be, and they don't want to cooperate with the U.S. And, you know, I think some of the tactics that are being used are to make, you know, threatening war or, you know, I remember in Trump's first presidency, you know, with North Korea, there was a big conversation. Thank you. There was a big conversation with North Korea. Oh, he's going to start World War III because he's sending ships towards North Korea. But no, it didn't cause World War III. It actually made the war not happen. So sometimes, yeah, you do have to have a show of strength. And, you know, there's military strategy behind that. And some of the greatest minds in the military minds and minds in general in the world are working towards, at the end of the day, peace. And I think that's the main goal. I mean, to me, that seems like the main goal that Trump has had throughout both of his presidencies is to bring peace. And sometimes you have to do that through strength and scaring the shit out of people. And I mean, that's true on every level. It's true. Why do you have the legal right to carry a firearm in America? What is it, to cause harm or is it to cause peace?
Yeah, absolutely. I just wish they would give us some explanation for that, because Iran is too close to our army bases is not the best reasoning for me. Like, they used to actually, like, knock down our buildings if they wanted to get us into war. They used to have to come up with supposed intelligence reports about weapons of mass destruction. Now it's just like, look, they're there and they don't like us, so we're going in, all right? And it's like, this is not how this is supposed to work. Even a
but
little
they
bit.
They don't invade, you know, if they do go to war with Iran, it's not going to be like Iraq. They're not going to go with boots on the ground and, you know, they'll bomb the shit out of it. But, you know, they're not going to. I think we've learned from mistakes that were made, and those were different times. And, you know, I don't, you know, necessarily agree with everything that was happening, then, but look, why are there less planes being flown into buildings or less terrorist attacks? We killed a lot of the people who wanted to do that. And,
I think it's because the bad guys won't get away with it. I think they haven't false flagged us yet because we got their number, and I think they're scared that if they try to, like, blow up an aircraft carrier, nobody's going to buy that it was Iran, and it's just going to blow back on the powers that be. That's why I think we haven't been false flagged yet.
You know, I'm less conspiratorial than probably you are. I you know, not to say that you're wrong, but I just look at it from the lens of, you know, not everything is a false flag, I don't think. And I think that how many people did we kill with ISIS in Iraq and in Syria and in, you know, all these wars that have happened over the 20 years? And how many of those people that we killed were radicalized extremists who wanted to get into Europe or America and just didn't because they were killed? So I you know, maybe that's a pro war stance, but maybe I'm a little pro war. You know, for the reason of peace, not for the reason of just chaos. No, I don't think that that's a good idea. And look, has anything happened really yet with Iran? We blew up some stuff. They fired some rockets back. I mean, were those false flags, the rockets that fell in Israel and in other, that were targeted other U.S. bases? No.
Kind of.
Those are real rockets. Those are real rockets. So.
They're real rockets, but they told America and Israel where they'd land so we could clear out the troops there. So that was kind of a false flag, actually, a little bit. That came out with the Seymour Hersh article. I think most of the things happening kind of have the shade of a false flag these days. But of course,
in a way, I don't know if it's false flag, but it's the way that warfare is going is like, okay, the regime in the Ayatollah wants to be able to fire a rocket without getting a huge retaliation. So the way they do it is, hey, we're going to fire a rocket right here. And then they do it. And then their, you know, I was going to call their citizens, their fan base, but their citizens don't have the access to that information necessarily en masse. So they just see it as our country is pushing back, when really it's like a coordinated thing that's kind of letting the Americans know what they're going to do so that they don't get extremely blown up.
Yeah, that's what's so weird about the whole thing is they're like, we have to respond to save face, right? We have to respond in kind or else we look weak. But then it's like, it's just publicly acknowledged. It's like, this is all kind of pretend. We're just sort of pretending, but we are responding to save face. I'm sure it's, you know, portrayed differently to the Iranian public, but it just seems like so much of what happens, especially in the Middle East, is like this weird kind of game of show where it's like, okay, you bombed us. Now we're going to bomb you, but don't worry. It's all for show. It's like they announce it, but they still have to do it to like fulfill some sort of, you know, honor requirement or whatever. It's just also bonkers to me.
World War II was the same. In World War II, they knew, okay, they're coming tonight, turn all the lights off, put the blackout curtains up, and get in the bomb shelters, you know? So it's still humans who are fighting each other. So there is still that minuscule amount of of humanity in it where, you know, it's like, hey, we're going to kill you, but just so you know.
Okay, but what happens when the robots take over? What happens when it's not a bunch of humans involved and it's literally just Benjamin Netanyahu and Ayatollah Khomeini with their Xbox controllers and 10,000 Elon Musk bots attacking each other? Things are about to get very weird the world over. How do you think, I mean...
It could make more peace, that or it couldn't. It could be Terminator, or it can be... You know, our robots kill your robots. I don't think that Iran is going to have the best robots out there. So
you're going on the record as in favor of the AI taker. You welcome the robot overlords coming in.
In some ways, I think, I mean, look, they haven't come yet, so I don't truly know, but am I going to buy a Optimus robot when it is available? Yes.
To kill your enemies.
Well, no, just to, because to get, make me a drink. Right. You know, and full self-driving. I don't know if you have or have tried full self-driving. It's pretty cool. It's pretty safe. And, you know, I understand that the concept of, you know, pushing back on it. And if I know, you know, the term Luddite, right? Like people who that was coined, I think at the beginning of the 19th. Or when it, industrial revolution, one of the industrial revolutions where, you know, they were against the manufacturing.
Yeah, that was back when it was like, it was just like automated looms. That was a bridge too far.
It was taking away jobs from artisans because now what he could make and charge money more for, somebody could make quicker, more of them and charge less. And people were against that. So. Look, if robots are coming, then we better, I'd much rather have an Elon in charge of them than a Bill Gates or, you know, whoever, Soros or, some other person. But I do think that it is necessary at a certain point that we're going to have to, you know, realize that if it, you know, car accidents are going to go down and for one thing with that, with the self-driving cars. So what other things will improve? I mean, yeah, maybe in 200 years, maybe the robots will kill us all, but you know, I mean, maybe the leftists will finally be happy about that. That'll solve a lot of their problems, right? You know, there's no more colonization. The robots are in charge. So I don't know.
I think you're going the other way. I think we're going to have to deal with robot rights. I think we're going to have robot civil rights. And we're going to have to fire the whole thing up again. We're going to have a new class of people who are oppressed in all new ways that we have to deal with. I think robots are kind of like, it's almost like we wish robots were the biggest issue we had right now. Like we like to think of ourselves as this sort of futuristic society that's like, oh no, robots are going to destroy us all. Like it's kind of more likely that just we forget how to like operate the clean water systems and we all just die of dysentery. You know, like I think maybe that's sort of like a goal we should be going for. Being killed by robots means we solved all the other problems first. Maybe AI is not the biggest threat to us right now. What would you say is the biggest threat to the world at this moment?
Biggest threat? I mean, a lot of people are saying that it's woke white women are the biggest threat, which they're the biggest threat to common sense. And you know, I think it's a ripple effect of pushing these ridiculous narratives that are actually putting us in danger. For instance, letting people out of prison when they are murderous. These are the more threatening things on a daily basis that you're going to have to worry about. You know, criminals on the streets and,
You mean restorative justice? You mean the great strides we've made in civil rights to guarantee an equal opportunity for people like this? It's funny you mentioned this exactly. Child predator dubbed, quote, monster parents fear most cleared for release through California Parole Program. A California child molester, once described by a judge as, quote, the monster parents fear the most, has been cleared for release under the state's elderly parole program, a decision local law enforcement says puts communities at risk, and prosecutors are now scrambling to stop it. The sheriff actually put out like a 20-minute video being like warning parents, being like, this guy is now on the loose. Other states would have killed him. We let him go for some reason. Sentenced to 3 life terms, but now he's just been released. So sorry to cut you off, but I think you're dead on the money here in terms of like the biggest threat. Is the biggest threat child, you know, molesters and murderers, or is it the politicians who let them out on the street, right? I mean, they sort of, it's a symbiosis that they operate in.
It's a ripple effect. It starts with people going to university, learning all this bullshit, and then getting into politics and pushing it to the extreme. And the people who are in politics pushing these bad policies are protected by, you know, security guards at their house and
blackmail pedophile stuff.
Epstein stuff, which, you know, I only got a few pages in, but the reality is, you know, the biggest threat to us is us and us not being on the same page about where we're trying to go. And that's why I brought up earlier going to space. And like my mom used to always say, you know, after 9/11 and stuff, and they, you know, when we went into Afghanistan, and Canada was in Afghanistan as well, and in, it wasn't in Iraq, but America was in Iraq at the same time. And, you know, my mom was, she was a liberal generally, but she would say, you know, so how many satellites are they launching? You know, cause they're out there believing in some primitive way of life while the rest of the world is trying to modernize. And, you know, it's a clash of civilizations right now that we have, where you showed that picture with the troops at the border because that's the civilizations that we've taken over. Every part of the world is taken. There's nowhere else to go. So now all the civilizations are clashing, and you know, I don't think we're going to have a world war. I don't think we're going to destroy ourselves that way. I think it's more about people not being on the same page. Look at China and the advancements that they made. And I think, you know, some of them are due to them being on the same page, whether they're forced to be or not. I don't think that's right. I think freedom of speech is more important than, you know, people have just been convinced of such bad ideas, and countries like China are going to, you know, continue to advance, and they're trying to beat America. And in some ways they are winning. So
they're winning, yeah, in the choreographed dances. They definitely have a lock on that. Their kindergartners kick our kindergartners' ass when it comes to dribbling a ball with both hands. They're killing it in a lot of ways. They still eat live mice, so I don't know. They're a weird one. They're a tricky one, I feel. You know, I really worry about, obviously, like, the next generation, and Gen Z seems alternatively just, like, completely irrecoverably insane and just, like, based and way more like realistic than everybody else. But clearly, like, something has gone wrong with the youth. And I wonder if there's not some sort of weird correlation between like the death of comedy that we were talking about, how sort of people don't want to laugh at stuff anymore, so you can't laugh at that, and the corresponding lack of sincerity, where like no young people actually have sincere belief. Like they just want to laugh and mock sincere beliefs about God or life. It's all a joke to them, but the actual jokes aren't there. Is there a correlation, do you think, between right. the death of comedy and the death of sincerity?
Comedy was born out of tragedy. The first stand-up comedians in America, I mean, we're talking Mort Saul and Lenny Bruce, that was pretty much right after World War II. You know, what, 10, 20 years after, or not even. So people had just gone through the worst thing that they've ever been through. Millions dead, nuclear weapons used, concentration camps, death camps, you know, mass migration. But comedy, people wanted to see Lenny Bruce. His shows were sold out all the time. And there were people who hated him and people who didn't think he should be saying that and blah, 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 and on and on. And, you know, but the reality is he was in those rooms making people laugh in a dark time or right after a dark time. So, you know, this idea that you shouldn't laugh at something horrible, it's like, well, then we wouldn't have comedy at all.
Right.
Because that's how it started. And yeah, is there clean comedy? Is there family friendly comedy? Is yes. And those things are great and should exist as well. And if there's the appetite and people want to pay money for that, then that's, you know, that's their right and that's the freedom. But, you know, to say that only this type of comedy should be allowed, where did that come from? That's a Soviet thing. I mean, my dad was raised in the Soviet Union and, you know, he talks about it all the time. They had comedians, you know, who would make jokes that were carefully curated to make the party look good. And do we have that now? Yes. Colbert.
I was going to say, yeah.
You know, all those late night shows, Daily Show, which by the way, when I was a kid, I loved Daily Show, even though I wasn't even really political. I just thought it was funny.
It was.
And, you know, but now it's become this almost Soviet era type of comedy where it's only meant to make you agree with the party. And the party is the Democrat Party. I mean, Gutfeld is one example of a right-leaning late-night comedy show, but generally there's no exact show like a Jimmy Kimmel or whatnot where the person doing the monologue is making fun of the Democrats, you know? And so because mainstream media is still seen as the truth by a lot of people, it's creating a divide. And it makes people think, oh, you know, so you can be the most successful comedian in the world, but you will never be on late night TV because they don't agree with your comedy is not the type of free country energy I'm looking for. If anything, they should be having more comedians on those shows that they disagree with. Bring me on and make me look like an idiot then. But they don't because they know that they won't make me look like an idiot and they'll look stupid.
And that really is it. I mean, it's really hard to be funny without the truth. And it's, you know, if you can't convince people of something, the next best step is, censorship and ridicule. But it's, you know, you can be the best comedian and never get on a late night show, or you can be the best late night show and not actually be funny because something has gone horribly wrong in our popular culture in America.
Well, because we have free speech, but the left has taken up arms essentially. Not en masse, well, hopefully, but I mean, you know, with like the murder of Charlie Kirk or the attempted assassination of Trump, President Trump, these, you know, they're basically saying, okay, you can make your jokes or you can make your opinions or you can have your views, but somebody might kill you.
But we'll kill you. And that's exactly right. That's terrifying.
You were just telling me that you had a brain disease and what did you do to fix it?
I found this guy's a functional medicine guy and he got me on methylene blue and that instantly stopped everything.
I'd take it.
Okay.
Yeah.
I take it every day as well. And
yeah, RFK Jr. told me about it.
Yeah, man, it's fantastic. And so this guy's injecting in 1890, injects these rats with it and then does an autopsy on these things. And their brain, the brainstem, every single nerve is blue. So he discovered this methylene blue has an affinity for neuronal tissue. So he says, well, it's sucking into neurons and working in the body. So we started putting it in humans. And we found out it's an MALI, which helps with depression and anxiety and all kinds of life stress and stuff. It is so incredible that it acts as an electron donor to mitochondria, especially your neuronal mitochondria. So it helps you produce more ATP, and it helps you get rid of this stuff called reactive oxygen species. So you have an oxygen molecule. It should have two hydrogens on it. And like your body's job is to convert stuff into water so you can pee it out. So if you get an oxygen molecule, it's got 4, 5, 1. It's a reactive oxygen, which we call free radicals. So methylene blue goes in there and balances a lot of those things out in your brain and your nervous system. So it is a miracle, and it's been proven for 100 years. It's one of the most well-proven drugs out there.
The strongest medical-grade methylene blue, and this is what I'm on. Total mitochondria cleaning, next-level energy. This is amazing. And you want to know what I'm on? Iris CMOS, Shilajit. This right here, look at that. That is power. I'm on intermittent fasting. I'm 8 to 3 o'clock today. And I stopped eating crap food, stopped drinking. That's what I'm on right there, baby.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. Third hour of the War Room is on. We have a lot more to talk about today and some breaking news as testimony of Hillary Clinton has finally ended, and we'll bring you some clips, some statements made by the politicians and herself here in just a second. But I want to go to this video. I thought this was fantastic. This one was cracking me up. I don't know who she is. I wish I could give her credit. But she posted this basically by saying, our country is upside down. And, well, she makes some damn good points. Let's listen.
Since I got on social media in 2023, I have been saying the same thing. I have been saying the downfall of this country is too many women in charge. Too many women in charge. We have allowed a bunch of these feminist dykes to take over, and they are destroying this country. They are destroying this country, and they're destroying it because they have gotten a lot of weak, spineless, ballless men to stand up behind them and support this bull crap. See, let me tell y'all something. See, feminism was never supposed to be to try to take over, to try to get rid of men. Feminism was women saying, hey, we want the same rights that men have. We want to be able to work these jobs and get paid just like men. We want to be able to walk through the front door and get a handshake and get the same respect that men get in these corporations. But somewhere along the line, they have allowed these feminist dykes to take over the feminist movement, and this is where we are now. This country is upside down. We're upside down because too many weak men has allowed this to happen. Y'all can get mad at me all y'all want. Y'all can say what y'all want. I don't care. I stand on what I say. Y'all have allowed these feminist dykes to come in and take over. Because we got too many women in government now that's screwing up everything. They're screwing up everything, and they're able to screw up everything because they got a bunch of these baldest, spineless men who are willing to stand up behind them. See, these men are too afraid to be called a man. So instead of being called a man, they just want to step back and let these women just take over and ruin everything. See, that's why so many people now, so many trans women are able to get in women's sports, are able to go into women's safe spaces, are able to take over jobs that women would usually have because y'all got these old feminists, these old butch feminists that has taken over. They've taken over. See, let me tell y'all something. I'm going to just keep it 100, y'all. See, these so-called feminists, these new age feminists, see, they mad with the world. They mad with the world because they know deep down inside, don't a real man want them. They look like a bunch of circus clowns, some deranged circus clowns with all these tattoos and piercings and this pink, green, and blue hair. So they mad with the world. They're angry. They're angry with the world because they know deep down inside that, listen, it's nobody want them. So they mad with the world. So they want to just mess up everything, throw a monkey wrench in everything because they're angry. They're angry with the world. So they decided to take their anger out when they got into these positions. They got in these positions. They just decided to take their anger out on these men that don't want them. You know, the real men, the men who was actually keeping the country in line. But I'm going to tell y'all something. I don't just blame these doggone feminist dykes. I don't just blame them a lot. I blame these weak, spineless men who walking around here tucking their balls, putting on these pink panties and standing back. Because see, when these women start telling these men, y'all need to stay at home and be house husbands. Y'all need to let me be the head of the house. Y'all need to stay at home and be house husbands. And they fell in line with this. That was the beginning of the end because they showed you how weak a lot of these new men are. See, the men of the silent generation, the men of the generations before us that raised us, the Gen Zs, the Gen Xs and stuff, see, a lot of them are no longer here. So now we got a bunch of weak men who's willing to step back and allow these women to take over. And that's why this country is upside down. That's why this country is hanging on by a thread and we get ready to just fall off the cliff. We getting ready to follow, cause y'all get mad at me all y'all want. Y'all know it's the truth. So let me tell y'all something. These men decided to stop being men and start to pick up purses. That's why when I go in the stores now, I can't find no purse, cause all those doggone feminist men got it. And let me tell y'all something. All of y'all in the back who can't hear, I need y'all to come forward. There's no such thing as a feminist man. Men are not feminists. They can't get in touch with their feminist side because that's not how God made them. God made them to be men. God made us a difference for a reason. God made them to be strong enough to do the heavy lifting. God gave us the ability to do the emotional lifting. And that's the problem. Too many emotional women are in Congress. These old dyked out feminists are in country, turning everything upside down. And I blame the men. I blame the men because y'all allowed this. Y'all allowed this because y'all don't want to be called toxic. Y'all don't want to be called, y'all hate women. Y'all don't want to go against women. Instead of standing up, telling them women to get their ass somewhere and sit down. And now this country's hanging on by a thread.
Preach.
And it is what it is.
Can I vote for her? Where's she running for office? Can she be the president? That's the type of energy we need. I mean, I love women like her.
We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, with the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. This is the War Room with Harrison Smith.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. This is the War Room. I'm your host, Harrison Smith, coming to you live this Thursday evening, 26th of February, 2026. Hillary Clinton just finished testifying in her deposition to the House committee about Epstein. We have some statements from both her and James Comer, the chair of the committee. Let's go now to James Comer, see what he had to say following the deposition of Hillary Clinton.
Our deposition is concluded. It's a shame that it took 7 months to get Ms. Clinton in. She answered most of our questions. I'm going to let some of my colleagues lament on that, but we're going to not release the too many details of what happened today. We're going to try to get the video out as quickly as possible, hopefully within the next 24 hours. That's a very long deposition, so as quick as we can get that video produced, we will get that out. The transcript will be released as soon as her attorneys approve it. That's the standard rules of a deposition. And I think that, I think this was a productive deposition today. I think, we learned a lot. There were a lot of questions that we asked that we, you know, weren't satisfied with the answers that we got, but we will continue to move forward. Any of my colleagues, every member of the committee asked questions. And
I would just say one of the things I learned today is if you really have specific questions about the Clinton Global Initiative or the relationship between the Clintons and Jeffrey Epstein and Ghislaine Maxwell, you got to ask Bill Clinton.
That's a great point. The number of times that she said, I don't know, you'll have to ask my husband, was you know, more than a dozen, and I'll put it like that.
If I can be asked, I can just hop in. Also, too, I think it's important to note that we have been working in a bipartisan fashion to make this as painless as possible for the people that we're bringing in, but also to ensuring that there's accountability and transparency. You will hear a lot of spin sometimes out of politicos in Washington, but the fact is that it's our goal and objective following this, and we also, too, did ask for full-up from the Secretary on producing legislation that will help prevent this from ever happening again in the future, obviously working to combat trafficking, which has been a cause incredibly important, not just to myself, to Chairman Comer, to Representative Nancy Mace, but many new members of this Oversight Committee. And so we are looking forward to continuing to provide that transparency. And thank you, Jennifer.
First of all, I want to thank Secretary Clinton for being here for as many hours as she was here today. She took every question from every single member. I want to thank my colleagues on both sides of the aisle, Republicans and Democrats alike, for being here today and asking questions. I very much look forward to speaking to her husband, former President Bill Clinton, tomorrow. We have a lot of work to do. Not surprised by some of the answers, surprised by some, and you'll get the transcript very soon, but I want to thank everyone who participated. This is nowhere near from over, and in making my notes today, I've got names of individuals that I believe we need to haul to the Oversight Committee and ask them questions, ask their perspective, ask them about other potential witnesses or victims or potential predators. I think this is going to go on for a long time. There are millions of files. There are a lot of people involved. And some of the gaps that have been seen, especially early on, are very evident after speaking with her today. And I just want to thank everyone for their time. And we have a lot of work to do, and I'm willing to work with anyone who's willing to work with me. I'll work with you on getting to the bottom of this, making sure that this doesn't ever happen again. And when it does, those predators are held accountable to the fullest extent of the law. Thank you.
All right, so this is James Comer, Anna Paulina Luna, that was Nancy Mace.
So this is an issue. If you've read the Epstein files, there's unspeakable evil in there. And the American people and the victims deserve transparency and accountability. The biggest thing I think we need to know is how do we strengthen laws to prevent human trafficking in America, if not the world? And how does someone with such evil infiltrate the highest levels of the U.S. government and world leaders? So we're going to continue to ask those questions.
That's a bit silly, if you ask me. You need to enforce the laws that already exist. The problem isn't that there aren't the right laws. The problem is that some people are above the law and don't ever get held to account. All right, they're taking questions now.
Why won't you?
Well, President Trump has answered hundreds, if not thousands, of questions from you all about Epstein. And I think he's been very transparent in releasing the documents. We expect hopefully more documents to come in. We're still assessing the 3 million-plus documents that we have. We obviously will be moving on to the next phase and bringing more people in for questions. So, again, remember, this was a bipartisan subpoena by members of both parties to bring in Ms. Clinton. And it's just a shame that it took 7 months. And I know every member of our committee has a big list of names they want to bring in. These are big, powerful people that hire very skilled law firms, and they delay, and part of when you delay in this investigation, it takes 7 months to bring a witness in like it did today. That creates a problem. So we're trying to move as quickly as we can. We're obviously following what's going on in the United Kingdom now. We're following everything. I know that there are a lot of eyes, and hopefully the media will play a role in this. The media has a role. The documents have been made public. We're going to continue to fight for more redactions. There are some names who are redacted. I think we all agree shouldn't be redacted. I don't think they're who you think they are. So that's why we want those names.
Chairman, if I could just add in real quick to follow up on that, though. We asked specifically the victims, and we were all there, as well as the Speaker and the Democrat members of Congress, if the president was involved, and they exonerated him. So why would we bring in the president of the United States, who's been exonerated, who cooperated with law enforcement, and who released the files, when we had to fight? We basically threatened to hold the Clintons in contempt if they didn't want to come in. So to be clear, we had cooperation. We asked the victims directly, and he was exonerated. So I would encourage all of you to at least do the fair reporting and understanding that just like you would not publish false statements about the Clintons and some of the allegations that have been made about them, you would give the President of the United States the same respect.
And he also went to law enforcement. Us.
Hey, Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Comer, can I ask?
Hold on a second, guys. Hold on. Mr. Chairman, President Trump has released more files than anyone. During the Biden administration, zero files, no DOJ involvement. He has secured the border, lowered human trafficking, and passed the House Republicans, and President Trump has passed anti-human trafficking legislation just his first year.
Yeah. Mr. Coleman,
transparency, as you guys said moments ago, can you release any findings that were discussed today? You said some.
We're going to release that video, and you'll be able to see the whole thing as quick as we can get the video produced. But I think what will be interesting is some of the comments that Secretary Clinton made at the very end about Jeffrey Epstein. And I think that that would apply to others that you all obviously have an interest in, too.
Mr. Comer, you said that Bill Clinton is the man to ask questions. Or
that's what Mrs. Clinton said many times today.
Why bring Hillary Clinton along?
Again, for the 15th time, this was a motion made by Democrats and Republicans in a subcommittee on oversight. There were a list of people to bring in, and Bill and Hillary Clinton were on the list. And I'm glad we brought Hillary Clinton in because she's never really answered questions until in the last week about her relationship with Epstein and Maxwell. So she answered questions, and hopefully they'll be helpful as we move forward.
Chairman Comer, are you now satisfied?
On the Clinton Global Initiative, was that your main focus today with Secretary Clinton, and do you feel like you got the answers you were looking for?
Well, I don't want to disclose too much of what was said, but most of the questions that we asked about the Clinton Global Initiative, which were very specific questions, some of them were backed by emails and other documents that have been released by the Department of Justice. She said that she was a senator, and you would have to ask her husband that tomorrow. So we have a lot of questions for her husband tomorrow, and I'm confident that deposition will last even longer than this one.
Chairman Comer, are you
now? All right, so there you go. Got a pretty good rundown of everything that's happened. Apparently, we'll have the video of that, I guess, by tomorrow, he said. But they'll have the transcript out. Wonder if there will be any redactions. I do think this probably would have been more valuable to have happened live. Now, we'll go to Hillary Clinton, who's made some statements. Her statements are getting a lot more attention. She apparently talks about a number of things. So we'll listen to her and what she has to say. Apparently tomorrow, Bill Clinton will be deposed. And it's a little bit silly for her to say, you'll have to ask my husband. She really was the brains behind the operation, especially for the last decade that the Clinton machine really ran. It was all Hillary. I mean, once Bill was done being president, he wasn't so much the focus of attention as much as Hillary Clinton, senator, and then Secretary of State, and then running for president. I mean, she was the kingpin, so I wonder if Bill's not going to go in and go, oh, you're going to have to ask my wife about that. We're just not going to get an answer. I don't know. But apparently she answered all the questions from, you know, both sides of the aisle. And here's what she had to say after the questioning during her press conference.
Well, I have just finished testifying. I answered every one of their questions as fully as I could. Based on what I knew, and what I knew is what I said in my statement this morning. I never met Jeffrey Epstein, never had any connection or communication with him. I knew Ghislaine Maxwell casually as an acquaintance. But whatever they asked me, I did my very best to respond. It was disappointing that they refused to hold a public hearing, so I wouldn't have to be out here characterizing it for you. You could have seen it for yourself. We had asked for that. We think it would have been better for the committee and its efforts to gather whatever information they are seeking. We had a bit of a challenge in the beginning because we had agreed upon rules based on the fact it was going to be a closed hearing at their demand, and one of the members violated that rule, which was very upsetting because it suggested that they might violate other of our agreements. So we had to cease the hearing for a period of time until we could get assurances that no rules would be broken going forward, and we returned to answer questions repetitively, literally over and over again. I don't know how many times I had to say I did not know Jeffrey Epstein. I never went to his island. I never went to his homes. I never went to his offices. So it's on the record numerous times. It then got, at the end, quite unusual because I started being asked about UFOs and a series of questions about Pizzagate, one of the most vile, bogus conspiracy theories that was propagated on the internet, that was serving as the basis of a member's questions to me. So I can only say that the best exchange that I had came at the very end when, contrary to every other deposition they have taken, no Republican member asked any questions about Jeffrey Epstein or Ghislaine Maxwell to anyone else they have deposed. And in fact, the Republican members didn't even show up for the deposition of Les Wexner. And when I said that, I had to point out that the only questions that any Republican member asked of any of the people they deposed was of former Attorney General Bill Barr when Chairman Comer asked him about the allegations, in his view, about Russia's involvement in my election in 2016. So at the very end of this hearing, after I made that point, I want to commend Chairman Comer for raising a series of significant questions that I responded to about the nature of the investigation and the areas that I thought should be explored. So I appreciated that. I want to see the truth come out. So that was a reassuring way to end a very long, repetitive deposition.
Madam Secretary, you spoke in your opening remarks about how heartbroken you have been for the Epstein survivors as these files have come out. Can you talk to us a little bit about how you have processed and reacted to the fact that the former president, your husband, Bill Clinton, is referenced in the Epstein files numerous times, including in some photos featuring women? And how have you been personally preparing for the deposition that is coming tomorrow? Are you 100% confident that there isn't anything that the former president knows about Epstein's crimes?
I am, and I think the chronology of the connection that he had with Epstein ended several years before anything about Epstein's criminal activities came to light and that he was charged and sadly given a sweetheart deal, which, as I said in my statement, had that not happened, perhaps his predatory behavior could have been stopped earlier. But I think it is fair to say that the vast majority of people who had contact with him before his criminal pleas in 08 were like most people. They did not know what he was doing. And I think that that is exactly what my husband will testify to tomorrow.
She is such a liar. Pause it right there. We'll go back to her in just a second. First of all, can we appreciate that she's not and never will be president? Can we just marinate on the fact that this is like the only time we're going to have to watch her speak in like a decade? That's nice. We can just appreciate the fact that the path that the world took means that this woman it's probably going to be more associated with Epstein than anything else at the end of the day. Certainly not the first woman president of the United States, a position she did a lot of bad things to achieve and never got there. So let's appreciate that first and foremost. That fact we're even talking about Hillary right now is sort of a one-off, and we're not going to have to do it much longer. So that's a wonderful thing. That's wonderful news about reality as it exists now. But she's lying. But she's obviously lying about her husband's participation with Epstein. Remember, it was an Epstein victim who said she was introduced to Epstein by Bill Clinton when Bill Clinton called him the King of America. Jeffrey Epstein also visited the Bill Clinton White House multiple times as an official of some sort, as an advisor in some capacity. Not only that, he, of course, is on the plane manifest quite a bit. He is pointed out by the victims of Epstein, not just the one that said that Bill Clinton introduced him as King of America, but there were multiple victims that when asked, who else should we question about this, their first answer was Bill Clinton. Not, was Bill Clinton in on this? And they said, yes. The open-ended question, who else should we ask? Bill Clinton was the name that came to their mind. So he was more involved than Hillary Clinton is obviously letting on. She seems to be surprised or shocked that they would bring up Pizzagate. But of course, Pizzagate had a lot of, you know, similar characteristics as the Epstein files do, the strange code words around food, specifically pizza. And it was Hillary Clinton, the DNC, and her campaign manager, John Podesta, where those emails existed, including emails from Hillary Clinton herself to Linda Rothschild saying, I owe you penance and I'll be sacrificing a chicken to Moloch in the backyard. So again, for her to say this crazy conspiracy theory that spread over the internet, it's like the one that was confirmed in basically everything by the Epstein files. Like, yeah. The Pizzagate conspiracy that was actually just the verbatim transcripts of your emails with very suspicious and, as of now, still unexplained code words. And not even code words, but like discussions about dropping children off in hot tubs where they've been well-trained for entertainment. And then that got manipulated by the media to be, they think there's a sex ring out of a pizza parlor. That was never the case. That was the cover story. That was ridiculous on purpose, that they made ridiculous on purpose in order to disguise the reality of what's going on. So very funny that she would bring that up as if that was discrediting, when in fact it's the opposite. That has all been basically confirmed, and all the speculation confirmed as well. And she says they asked about UFOs. I don't really get that particularly. I wonder if they asked Hillary Clinton about her casual acquaintance that she didn't really know, Ghislaine Maxwell, being front and center at her daughter's wedding. Remember, Chelsea Clinton's wedding has pictures of her walking down the aisle with Ghislaine Maxwell right there within arm's reach. Maybe they were a little closer than she's letting on. So I think she's absolutely full of it. But good on the reporters for actually asking good questions. It's like, what about all those pictures of your husband with little girls? And are you so sure that he's going to be so squeaky clean at the end of this? But obviously, Bill and Hillary Clinton's involvement in the CIA and drug trafficking goes back to his time in Arkansas. And this whole corrupt cabal that has been exposed by the Epstein files is a cabal in which they occupy very high positions. So they're not going into this deposition unprepared or, you know, worried about the outcome. They're protected, and that protection's been all but guaranteed. To be honest with you, I think that they have a point. She has a point. And a lot of people have a point about the fact that the Republicans refused to go question Howard Lutnick. Not a single Republican went to question him, but they were all there for the Hillary Clinton questioning, which to me just brings into question the legitimacy of their motivation and whether they do see this as you know, a real concern or whether it's all political for them. Let's go back to Hillary Clinton here.
Do you believe this was a fair hearing? And do you still want to testify publicly, even though you gave this deposition?
Oh, I'm not going to do it again. You know, they had a chance to do it in public, and I wish they had done it in public. And I think they're making the wrong decision, avoiding doing it in public. I thought it was very repetitive. I thought that they asked literally the same questions over and over again, which didn't seem to me to be very productive. And then, as I said, toward the end, you know, there were other questions that were totally off subject. So if they are going to fulfill their responsibilities to literally investigate the investigations, which is what they originally said was the scope of their work, I think they could have spent the day more productively.
What is Madam Secretary, what was your reaction to President Trump?
Can I ask, why was Colleen Maxwell invited to the daughter of Chelsea Clinton's wedding?
They did ask.
She'd already been mentioned in civil...
All right, we'll just pause right there. They just asked her about Ghislaine Maxwell attending her daughter's wedding. We'll see what she answers on the other side. Stay with us.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at TheAlexJonesStore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. Get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
We've got to get to a point where we are self-sufficient again, Texas. And when it comes to health, also food, our food needs to be clean, number one. It just needs to be clean. And
Florida has pointed out, put that back on screen, all these major brands have got, like, you know, hundreds of times the glyphosate you should have.
Glyphosate.
Absolutely. Well, your doctor tells us what that does.
This is going to change your brain. This is going to set you up.
It erases your blood-brain barrier.
Oh, yeah.
So it's really an accelerant or an adjuvant.
Absolutely.
Everything in there. Explain that.
It destroys the blood-brain barrier. So that's a protective thing that happens between the cerebral spinal fluid and your fluids inside the brain and the things that attack it from the outside. Once that barrier is depleted, then it's subject to all kinds of heavy metals, things that get sprayed from the sky, right? Barium, aluminum, all these things that it protects you from. Why methylene blue works. It does. It counters that.
Let me ask you that. 45 minutes in, you feel it, Doc?
Yeah, I feel pretty good.
Be honest, though. You got your own special brand. Is this good or what?
No, this is the same effect I'm getting, but it feels right. Yeah, it feels right. Yeah, it's a little easier to take. Yeah.
By easier, what do you mean? Compared
just
to
the way it feels, you know, just going down, drinking it. But
So this one tastes better, but it's as good as the one your doctor gave.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, so your doctor must have a good one.
We'll see. We'll go down the road a little ways. I'll text you.
Guys, get him a couple bottles of this. I need Doc Chambers endorsing this.
I'm not getting it for free, but I'll definitely help.
No, you're getting it down. Come on. Free your blood. It's amazing.
Hey, this is Doc Chambers here. I'm out in the field right now. Day off from the campaign trail doing some work. I got things to catch up on, so it's called a refit day. But I'm getting refit with Alex Jones's methylene blue. It's pretty good. I got to say, I've been using it on the road since we left the studios, and I've been taking it for a while. I had a traumatic brain injury in Iraq in 2004. There's been a lot of studies out there that show that with post-dementia patients and TBI patients, it's been used for years. It's just not very well known with regard to demyelination, what it can do to improve your cognition. So that's your brain. Your brain housing these stuff. Hey, thanks, Alex. Appreciate you. We're going to stay on.
Powered by Methylene Blue. Ultra Methylene Blue at TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
All right, welcome back, folks. We're going to finish off with this Hillary Clinton press conference following her deposition, and we don't know if the Congress people asked her, but at least the reporters asked her, if you didn't know Ghislaine Maxwell, why was she at your daughter's wedding? That's a little odd. So let's see what her response to this is.
She came as the plus one, the guest of someone who was invited.
Madam Secretary, could you have your reaction, please, to the photos of your husband?
No answer. So there you go.
I don't know when the video will be out. I don't know when the transcript will be out. We've asked that they be out as quickly as possible, and then you can see.
Madam Secretary, what was your reaction to the photos in the hot tub? We heard from Bill Gates' concerns.
Photos in the hot tub. What about that? Man, not the way she thought she would be talking to the press these days. I'm just enjoying that. I'm just imagining, like, what did Hillary Clinton think her life would be like by now? She would have thought she'd have at least two terms as president. That would have ended last year. She'd be on a book tour right now, plotting her presidential library. Nope. Actually, we defeated her. We defeated the machine. We defeated the Bushes and the Clintons and the CIA and their corrupt dogs in the FBI. We got Trump elected against all odds and changed the course of history. So I'm just enjoying that for a moment, just thinking about the other timeline, the timeline that we could have been in. Yes, the Madam President timeline. I'm just enjoying that we are not there, that we're not there and that we never will be, and that instead of addressing us as a former president and best-selling author Hillary Clinton, it's accused pedophile associate questioned by Congress over her association to various sex criminals. Yeah, Epstein isn't the only one in their circle. So I know Alex was going off on this on his show for a little while, and people do get confused. We are fighting a war. We're fighting an information war. And so we have won major victories. We have won major battles. Does that mean the war is over? No. Does that mean that we're even winning the war? It's kind of debatable. But over the last 10 years, there has been a steady momentum on our side. And the victories that we have achieved seemed impossible 10 years ago. But we've achieved them, and we continue to achieve them. It doesn't mean everything's perfect. It doesn't mean we've won. It doesn't mean the war is over. But in war, you got to keep your morale up, and you got to remind yourself, even though there is a lot of fighting still to go, we have won a lot. We have gained a lot of land. We have metaphorically slaughtered whole swaths of their armies and left the battlefield stinking with their corpses, metaphorically, but satisfactorily, but in a satisfying way. And we'll continue to, and we'll continue to push. And if there's one thing about this Epstein release I think is pretty undeniable, is that the people in power do not have the initiative. They're on the back foot. They are scrambling to figure out how to deal with this. This isn't orchestrated by the Clintons and Bill Gates. This is orchestrated by us, and they're having to dance to our tune now. And that in and of itself is a victory for the ages. And I hope that you can support InfoWars, as we've had an outsized influence on this trajectory. And I've played the videos before, but I mean, they've had, during the Connecticut trial, they had experts testify not only to the tens of thousands of individuals all over the country who are paid and whose full-time job, you know, in grad school or whatever, is to study us, is to study InfoWars, not for the purpose of scientific inquiry, but as you study the enemy, as one army might study the actions of an enemy army in order to defeat us, in order to identify what makes us successful so that they can hamper us in the most efficient way. And they still haven't succeeded. So not only do you have whole literal armies of people arrayed against us, trying desperately to stop us when really they can't, they never will, and the simple matter is, we have the truth on our side, and that is, in a battle of information, a super weapon. But not only that, testifying to the fact that when it came to the 2016 election and even before, but certainly getting Trump elected, Alex Jones and InfoWars had a impact on the election that was bigger than the next top three right-wing pundits combined. Literally, like Rush Limbaugh, Glenn Beck combined didn't even come close to the amount of impact that we've had. And that's science, folks. They studied this. They can provide you the charts, the influence network mapping paradigm. This is what people have put God only knows how many man hours into figuring out, and they figured out that InfoWars is the strongest, the best, the most powerful. And despite using and weaponizing that knowledge to try to kick us off every platform and sue us into oblivion, we're still here. We're still here, and Bill and Hillary Clinton are being hauled in to Congress to be questioned about their activity with the cabal of international pedophiles. We're doing great. This is actually fantastic. Our victories really are unparalleled and undeniable. So I hope you can support us in this mission by going to thealexjonesstore.com. I told you a little bit about the Power Drive combo, which has Power Plant and Methyl Drive. Power Plant is, of course, the advanced adaptogen complex, kind of like new super male vitality. It's got cordyceps, golden root, zinc, and boron. And golden root, I didn't realize, is an ancient supplement that Vikings used to use. Viking and Norse warriors carried this powerhouse adaptogen on long campaigns as armor against the cold. Golden root gives your body, helps your body keep cortisol in check under pressure. It means calm focus, steady drive, and a performance edge you can actually feel. Not a stimulant, something better, more long-lasting, and effective. Methyl and blue boost your mitochondria, the cellular energy machine. Power Plant, however, boosts oxygen efficiency, cortisol control, and testosterone. It's a different angle, same goal. If you combine them, stack them together, you've covered both ends of the performance equation. Power Plant, of course, combining with Methyl Drive, which is a mitochondrial support blend built to stack with both Methyl and Blue and Power Plant. Methyl Drive's got CoQ10 and PQQ, so it's similar to the DNA Force product that we used to have on InfoWarsStore.com. You can get the Power Drive bundle, which is Power Plant and Methyl Drive, and Methyl and Blue right now. Combine them all and really experience the power. Right now, you can get BOGO Sups, that is buy one, get one free. If you buy the creatine, you get a free CMOS gummy or Shilajit gummies, absolutely free. And those are some of my favorite products. The Shilajit gummies and the CMOS gummies are absolutely fantastic. I keep them around for a little pick-me-up if I need one. Plus, you're getting 25% off all apparel. And like I said, everything you buy at thealexjonesstore.com goes directly to funding this mission, this outlet, and our continuing conquering drive over the New World Order. TheAlexJonesStore.com/Harrison if you want to let them know who sent you. Now I want to talk about crime. I want to talk about crime because people don't even know what it is anymore, and they don't know how to deal with it, and this is a problem. This is a big, big, glaring, gigantic, unavoidable problem. I'm not going to play this whole thing, but I do want to go to a little bit of this conversation between a young woman and a person questioning her about crime, about what to do about murderers. And I'm not saying that this ill-informed libtard is the be-all and all of leftist ideology, but I think what she expresses represents the real shallowness of the left's beliefs and their incompatibility with reality, their ahistoricity. I mean, it really is a masterclass in how you have somebody who knows nothing, can't explain her views, can't justify her views, and yet feels as though she's the enlightened and informed one, even though she can't even express what she actually thinks. Let's watch. This is clip 7 here.
Go to jail?
Well, first off, not all murders created equal.
Should murderers go to jail or no?
If we're talking about somebody actually, like, responsible for an actual murder?
Yeah.
I think we need something better than jail.
What,
how
like
many
what?
Murders have gone to jail and then come back out and murdered somebody else?
I don't know, but like, what's the alternative?
Mm-hmm. All right, wait, can we pause it right there? Like, she doesn't even understand that that argument is completely against her beliefs. Because I think they have this idea. I mean, we kind of do too. The truth is, our criminal justice system is terrible. And prisons don't work. And I'll explain why in a second, because she gets into the history and she doesn't even know it, so I'll explain it to you. But it is a fallacy to think that you can take a criminal, put him into a concrete box, you know, jungle rape carnival for 10 years, and then there's going to be like a good citizen all of a sudden. Like that actually doesn't make sense. But all that means is that like if it's a murderer, they should just never get out. And a lot of criminals just never get out. So she makes this argument of like, well, how many people have been released from jail and gone on to murder again? It's like, okay, so they shouldn't be released from jail. It's not an argument against jail. That's an argument for extended jail sentences. But again, nothing she says makes sense. So let's keep watching.
You should look to your history books for that.
No, just tell me.
We went through millennia of existence without the modern prison system.
What are we doing? Pause it right there. Let's go and pause it right there. Let's go and pause it right there. What does she think they did before the modern prison system? She doesn't know. She thinks that there used to be, quote unquote, restorative justice. No, that still doesn't exist. That's not a thing. Never has been a thing. It certainly wasn't a thing before the penitentiary system. What she's describing is the penitentiary system. And it actually came out of like the Amish or like the Shakers and Quakers. And the root word is penitent. The idea was that you would separate somebody, imprison them, keep them away from the rest of society, obviously, so they couldn't hurt anybody or, you know, spread their evil, but that they would be isolated so that they could be penitent and repent and think about what they did wrong and read the Bible and clean their souls, right? Heal their souls and then emerge after having been penitent and ask for forgiveness and rejoin society. So, you know, that is fairly new and has a sort of religious start to it, but we've sort of gone off the rails on that. Prior to that, you just killed them. Or you kept them in dungeons indefinitely forever. Like, what does she thinks there used to be restorative justice? Well, I'll let her keep going, but she really does. She thinks that there used to be some sort of like hippy dippy social welfare program for crime. I don't know where she's getting this. No, for a millennia, like one of the main reasons that Europe did so well between 1788 and 1868, Britain used Australia as a massive penal colony. Yeah, you'd send people, just out of the country, right? And that's been a punishment since, you know, ancient Rome, a very common one. Yeah, you just sent people somewhere else. But also, like, have you ever heard of the Bastille Lady? You ever heard of, you know, the dungeon systems in France under the king? Like, she just has no idea what she's talking about, but she's trying to make the case that murderers shouldn't be put into prison because there's got to be some better way. And she's actually saying that history shows us the better way. History shows us that really, if you want your nation to become incredible, you need to spend like 1,000 years systematically murdering the, you know, most criminal 1 or 2% of your population. That's what Europe did. And if you were stealing, you were killed. You were robbing horses, you were killed. If you killed somebody, you were tortured, then killed. You ever heard of the wheel? Does she know about breaking on the wheel? Like, what does she, these people, man. Do you want to go through some like medieval torture? Like, okay, you'd put them in stocks for a while. That would be one thing you would do. Breaking on the wheel was they'd bring a big wagon wheel and they would use a stick and the spokes of the wheel. They'd tie you to the wheel and then they would break every bone in your body so that you could actually physically be tied like a knot onto the wheel and you would sit there with every bone in your body broken until you expired from hunger. I just want to explain to these people that what we have going now might not be perfect, but what are you talking about the past having restorative justice? in the past, they system, I mean, they had, like, it was like down to a science where they were like, we want to cause this person the most amount of pain. So how do we cause them pain without killing them? And they, like, so this dumbass, I don't know what she thinks happened before penitentiaries, but it was worse than penitentiaries. So let's go back to her as she, again, tries to invoke some sort of non-existent history to make a case that is retarded on the face of it. Let's watch.
Existence without the modern prison system.
What do we do, kill them?
No.
Then what do we do with them?
Restorative justice systems like we used to.
Like what? But what's the solution? Used to.
I'm not giving you an entire criminal justice lesson.
No, just tell me. If you don't satisfy,
that was the part I mentioned earlier, and that is the most liberal thing you'll hear in this whole thing. That's the most, like, iconic leftist progressive response to anything. You ask them a very simple question that if they really believe what they believe, they'd be able to answer. And then they act like you can't even understand their belief unless they give you a 10-hour lecture. That you couldn't possibly understand their position on criminal justice without being fully indoctrinated into some sort of weird psychological nonsense that, you know, says that criminality is all the fault of the system. It's like, this is so stupid. It's the same thing with, like, transgenderism, or, you know, men are men, women are women. And they're like, I don't have time to explain to you how wrong that is. And it's just like, anything that takes longer than 5 minutes to explain, it's probably not true. Now, when it's something as simple as this, you require, you know, hours of indoctrination to fully scramble somebody's brain before they're willing to listen to your nonsense, I guess. But that's the biggest cop-out that you'll ever see. Let's go back to the bug-eyed weirdo.
Huh?
You don't send him to jail. Where do you send him?
Where do you send them? Why do we need to specifically send them somewhere?
Well, they shouldn't be on the streets after they've murdered somebody, surely.
Depends.
No, murderers shouldn't be on the street. It doesn't depend at all.
I think it depends.
I don't think it depends at all. If you kill somebody, you should be in jail. It's not self-defense.
I think I might be too radical for you to be talking to.
So you disagree with that premise?
What?
That murderers should not be on the streets?
That murderers are on the streets right now.
But do you think we should make so they're not on the streets?
No. I believe in restorative justice.
Let them walk free.
Punitive justice does not do anything.
Let them walk free. Let them walk free then.
I don't say that there shouldn't be any consequences, but I don't think that incarceration is the right one.
But let them walk free. Let them walk free.
With restrictions, but yeah. They don't need
murderers walk free.
Huh?
Murderers walk free, yeah.
Like they do now, yeah. Murderers walk free every day. Did you know in the United States you have 50% chance of getting away with your first murder?
I don't care. My premise is that murderers should go to jail. They should be removed from the streets. You disagree with that.
My premise is that our current way of handling murderers and our punitive justice system does not work.
Because you think you don't agree with sending them to jail.
Well, okay, do you know what caused the most violent crime?
What has the most violent crime?
What caused the most violent crime?
I don't care. What is it?
Poverty.
That is not true.
It is true. If you go and you look at the statistics and the data from...
So then why is it... Then why is it that the black community committed less crime under Jim Crow when they were poorer than they do now when they have more money? Why is that the case?
Same reason why illegal immigrants have the lowest crime rates in the United States.
That's not true. They disproportionately commit crime.
No, they don't.
Yes, they do. Look at El Paso. Look at Kinney County, Texas. No, you haven't. In Kinney County, Texas, there are more crimes committed by...
I just want to get to that part where she says that poverty is the cause of violence, because it's just so wrong. It's just not even remotely correct. I mean, it's obvious in any number of ways. That guy points out one good example is that crime rates in the black community are higher now than they were when the black community as a whole was significantly poorer, right? But not just that. It would be pretty obvious. If that was it, if it was poverty, then it would be a direct correlation between the poorest counties in America and the most criminal counties in America. That is absolutely not the case. There's a lot of other things that go into it. But that really lies at the heart of, like, what we just saw. She represents, I think, a very pure, like, crystalline representation of the leftist mindset. Because at the end of the day, you know, maybe if she'd given us that lecture on criminal justice, it would have sounded more thought out and you know, fully realized. I don't even think she could give that talk if she wanted to or had time to, but it doesn't matter because at the end of the day, that is the heart of it. It's just like total ignorance, total nonsense, hasn't thought through any position whatsoever. It's just like murderers should be free. Really? Well, not really, but they shouldn't have to go to jail. Where should they have to go? I don't know. And it's just like, well, then you just don't know anything. Then just shut up. Why do you think you have an opinion if you don't know anything? Who told you that you could speak on stuff when you don't even understand your own thoughts? Like, this is sad. This is really sad. But it can't be the criminal's fault. And, you know, criminals murdering people over again, that's the fault of the system. But it's not because the system's too harsh. There should be restorative justice, which has never existed, but apparently she thinks it did. And this is just all nonsense. They believe absolute unrelenting nonsense about the most important things in our country, like crime, like things that affect you personally. And this thread went viral recently, specifically this tweet in particular. This person, Cassie Pritchard, says, like on the left, we fundamentally don't care about quote unquote crime. It's morally uninteresting to us. It's just a thing that happens in the world, like the weather. So we're willing to excuse mental people for theft, violence, etc. It just happens, you know? Crime just happens. Like, how could you possibly believe that? Crime can only exist with a criminal, with a person doing it, right? Tree falls on you, that's not a crime. There's no criminal committing it, right? It was an accident, it was something bad that happened to you. Yes, bad things happen, like the weather. You could get struck by lightning. That's not a crime per se. But crime always includes a person making a decision to do something to harm another person or to break the law that harms society at large in a less tangible way. But no matter what, it is a person making a decision. These people don't seem to understand that. They think that human behavior can't be controlled, that humans don't have will. It's just a very weird, totally disconnected, actually, like, it's not even anti-human, it's like a-human, right? Like, it's a-historical, it's like against humanity, but not opposed to it, just outside of the realm of it. Crime is just a thing that happens in the world like the weather. This is a response from Kaiser von Lohengram. They say this. This is actually completely accurate to how leftists think. In breaking down the phenomenon of crime to a leftist mind, you have the criminal, the victim, and law enforcement. Crime is simply something that happens in regards to the victims of crime. You can't truly feel any kind of injustice occurred to a victim anymore than you can for a lightning strike or a random stroke during prime health. Crime simply happens to them. But the criminals, however, this is who your sympathy is held for. For anyone could end up a criminal or committing a crime. To them, crime is a force of nature that simply sweeps up and possesses somebody to do bad things. The true victim of that is the criminal, who was simply swept up in this force of nature we call crime and had no agency or choice or responsibility in the matter. And finally, we have law enforcement and those who seek to create safer societies. These, to them, are the true criminals. Crime is something that cannot be controlled. It's just a force that exists. And those who try to stop crime, to punish criminals, that is, are in fact choosing to harm the real victims, who are the criminals. And no amount of tough on crime or harsh sentencing or anything else can stop what is just a natural phenomenon from happening. All that does is cause harm to the most vulnerable. Remember, the criminals. You can't break this delusion with any amount of facts, statistics, results on punishing crime, because this is religious dogma at the end of the day. The only way it can be broken is if a leftist themselves is the victim of a crime. That could awaken them to the fact that criminals have agency and could be stopped. But don't hold your breath, folks. We'll see you tomorrow.
We're engaged in world-changing information here. And now our credibility is higher than ever, but it takes funds to operate. So it's a win-win. I sell you supplements, super nutrient compounds that are the certified best, strongest, highest rated, most loved, totally tested products at thealexshowstore.com. And we have a massive sale. Alert, alert, alert. I'm saying this live on air Thursday, February 26th. And that means you have until midnight Monday, March 2nd, to get our incredible, highest quality, concentrated creatine, private label, the top brand in the country. So good for your whole body, so good for your brain, good for everything. And you get a free bottle of Irish Sea Moss gummies and our high-quality Shilajit. You get either or. You choose absolutely free with our creatine. TheAlexJonesStore.com. We have the widest selection of Patriot apparel and some of the best designs. I set out when our sponsor said, what do you want? I said, I want the widest selection of t-shirts, hoodies, sweaters, hats, you name it. I want classic Americana stuff. I want pro-Trump stuff. I want InfoWars stuff. I want comedy stuff. Christian, Crusader, pro-life, pro-Jesus, classic 1776 stuff, quality Leering Center, you know, joke stuff, classic InfoWars gear. It's all there. I mean, just cool shirts saying, I love America with a German pointer on it. I mean, just good stuff. All sorts of resistance to tyrants is obedience to God Punisher shirts. I mean, there are some kick-ass stuff there. Look at that one, American Supply Co. I designed that bad baby. America established 1776 Supply Company. Woo! I like it. TheAlexJonesStore.com.